Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Charlotte
and Shelby,
it's Riley,
and it's time to smut up and listen.
The trigger warnings for today's episode include transmissia, cheating recounted, alcohol consumption, and blackmail.
Reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming, author shaming, or any other hate. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. I'm going to start today's episode by reading a review on Apple Podcasts from D. Nora. It is titled, Love These Girls. I listen to this podcast on Spotify and I adore them. I am new to smut books, so their episodes are so pure and relatable. I love their reactions and listening to what they have to say. Highly recommend, with the little smiley face.
Aw, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I don't know about pure though, girl.
Yeah.
Today's book is Praise by Sarah Kate.
Yes.
And I think I technically picked this book, but I do feel like it's more of a Shelby read.
Yeah, I dig it.
How many stars on Goodreads did you give it?
5.
You gave it 5?
How many did you give it?
I gave it 4.
Okay.
You gave it 5 stars?
Yeah.
I was good.
Why is it a Shelby type of read?
I think anything that's more contemporary.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do like
contemporary. And has an older male character for some reason.
Yeah.
I like those older boys. The quote I picked for this book, if you want my attention, you have to earn it first. Behave. Do as I say. Otherwise, stay silent.
All right. So my off-the-wall quote. I've probably never been more excited to go to work, but I guess I never anticipated getting railed and having multiple orgasms at work before either.
Okay. Do with those what you will.
Let's get it to it.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to start us off strong. In the prologue, I already have a highlight. It says 7 years ago, and we're in Emerson, which is our main male character's POV.
Okay.
So I had a fistful of her hair in my hand, and we were both in the moment when I looked her right in the eye and said, suck my cock like a good little girl. The next thing I knew, she reared back her fist and clocked me in the face.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not a good girl.
This is him having his little guy talk with his coworkers over drinks. They do this every Thursday night. They all talk about like their sexcapades with each other. Even the girl of the group, Maggie, she like chimes in on that.
She's just one of the boys.
One of the boys.
I got dick last night.
Really? Good for you. He has a black eye from being punched in the face from this girl that he said this to. And he mentions that up until being punched, the girl seemed like she was into the dirty talk. He mentions that they all...
She obviously wasn't.
Obviously not. He mentions that they all work for an entertainment company and they hate it. So again, once a week, they get much needed drinks like they're one night out. Almost all of them are single, including Maggie. Only one of them has a wife. One of his coworkers, Garrett, mentions it's bullshit that there isn't a way to match people up by the kinky shit they're into, and Emerson's like, $1 million idea. The next morning, they get a call from their entertainment company that they work for, and the company's going under and they're all fired. But Emerson's like, doesn't matter. I have a business plan for our little group. And that's how the Salacious Players Club is born.
This book is the first in the series of the Salacious Players Club.
There's three?
Four.
Four? Okay.
Damn. I have read the second one, but this was my first time reading this one, and Shelby's first time too.
Yeah, I've never read any of them, because you technically don't have to read them in order, I guess, is what people say. You can read them however order you want.
Which one's the second one?
It's called All Eyes on Me, or Eyes on Me. I'm thinking of Bo Burnham. It's called Eyes on Me.
Always got Bo Burnham on the mind.
Yeah, always. This episode is dedicated to Bo Burnham.
Call me.
Our female main character, her name is Charlotte, but we call her Charlie. She pulls up to her ex-boyfriend's house to get their old apartment deposit back. So she's like, where's my fucking half, bitch? He tells her that she has to ask his dad because the landlord sent it to him. His name was a co-sign on the lease, so that's where the deposit went back to.
Mm-hmm.
I put Bo is a total... Her ex-boyfriend's name is Bo. Bo is a total dickwad and cheated on her and got caught in their old apartment. That's why they broke up. He also, like, let her work two jobs to pay most of the bills since he could barely hold a job down. Real good boyfriend. He tells her that he doesn't talk to his dad, so he doesn't care about his half, and then proceeds to be like, here's his address, and text it to her. He's not gonna...
Go get it if you want.
Go get it, yeah. She storms back to the car where her 14-year-old sister is waiting, and her sister tells him that they should go get her money from his dad, but she's like, I'm not taking you to a random man's house. Like, you're gonna go to piano lessons. And that she's like, I'll deal with this later.
No, girl. Good on her.
Yes. She's a good sister. We go back to Emerson's POV. He's in his office with a girl kneeling next to his desk, pouting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you wait.
Oh, yeah.
He is upset and he's about to kick her out because she wants his attention, but that's not the way to get it. And that's my little quote that I read to you.
Oh.
I'll reread it. If you want my attention, you have to earn it first. Behave. Do as I say, otherwise stay silent. He doesn't like brats.
Okay.
So we learn that he is a dom and she's his sub. We learn this by him making her do menial tasks and not really giving her anything.
Okay.
But like, she always has to kneel and he's like, pets her hair and gives rewards when they behave, but she's being a brat and he doesn't like brats.
Okay.
So he kicks her out.
You're not worth my time.
Nope.
You little brat.
Earl Grant.
He calls Garrett to tell him to never send that girl again, and Garrett mentions that he can send a new one tomorrow if he wants, but Emerson says don't bother, like, they're all stressed with the club about to open up.
Yeah.
He also casually mentions, on top of all his stress, that his son hasn't returned any of his phone calls. He's sifting through his mail on the desk when a handwritten envelope catches his attention. He realizes it's from the apartment his son was in and has a $2,000 check.
Oh.
Say, maybe I can use this to my advantage.
Wait. Because he wants his son to return his calls.
What are you thinking, really?
So Charlie's ex-boyfriend... Mm-hmm. Emerson is his dad.
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ah. So Bo is Emerson's son and Charlie was dating Bo.
Yeah.
Okay.
We go to Charlie's POV. She pulls up to Bo's dad's mansion and she's pissed because she's like, I'm covering most of the fucking bills and my boyfriend was fucking loaded. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She rings the doorbell and I put a maid question mark because it's not like a maid, but it's not like his assistant. It's just some girl that's like, oh, here, I'll show you to his office.
He's like rich though.
Yeah. So. Okay.
She mentions that she wasn't expecting her and to follow her into the office. She's like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, I didn't think you were going to be here. And Charlie's like, what the fuck is this bitch talking about?
Yeah.
Actually, because she didn't call. She didn't, like, do anything beforehand.
She says, oh, the master's been waiting for you.
Yeah.
Master.
She leads her to the office and tells her that he'll be back in a minute. But she also makes a comment about Charlie's outfit and is like, this is different, but he actually might like it.
She's wearing like a black skirt. Or do you have the description?
No, it's like a cute black Peter Pan collared outfit. So like the top is like the black with the little white collar, a black skirt, black tights, and her Doc Martens.
Okay, cute.
That
is cute. So is this like maid thinking that she's like another girl for him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gotcha.
And Charlie's like, what do you mean my outfit's different, but he'll like it? Like, she's like, what the fuck is going on?
She's like, I just want my fucking money.
Yes. She walks around the office and is checking everything out while she waits. And the lady comes back and is like, he's home now, so you should get on your knees before he walks in. And Charlie's like,
excuse you?
She's like, no.
She doesn't get on her knees. And she finally sees Bo's dad. His description, he's tall with a bulky frame and sun-kissed skin. His dark hair is impeccably styled to the side with hints of white at the temples and a streak at the top. He's wearing an expensive looking navy blue suit, strong brows, and a chiseled jawline with a sandy cropped beard. He closes the door to the office and she starts to introduce herself, but he interrupts her and says, you should start on your knees, never be on your feet when I enter the room, and you don't speak unless I ask you to. When you do, you will address me as sir and nothing else. Is that understood?
Imagine you're just like showing up to like collect your deposit and he's like, get on your knees.
Yeah,
bitch.
She notices that she walked into something she wasn't supposed to, and she hesitates, and he tells her again to get on her knees. She asks why, and he says, you want your money, don't you?
And she's like, I do.
She's like, I do, actually.
She's like, I really don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, no. She does notice, though, like, the way that he talks to her, her body, like, starts to just comply, so she's, like, lowering to her knees until they hit the carpet. Much better, he says. He steps closer, and her heart thumps erratically. Normally, I'd want your eyes on the floor, but I want to look at you. And he grabs her chin and kind of like tilts her head to the side to look at her features. He whispers, "Lovely," and she feels like defenseless prey in his hands. When he asks where Garrett found her, and she audibly asks who Garrett is, he asks her name, and she tells him, "Charlie." Mm-hmm. Something clicks in his head, and he looks fucking appalled, and he is like, "Stand up! Get up! I'm so sorry." He's like, "Fuck." He recognizes her as his son's girlfriend now that she's sent her name, and she quickly corrects him, and she's like, "His ex-girlfriend.
Excuse me, it's ex.
Yeah.
Let me get back on my knees, okay?"
She is finally able to tell him that she's there to collect her half of the deposit check, and he apologizes again for treating her the way he did because he thought that she was someone else. She's like, "Who did you think I was?"
Yeah.
He's like, "Not important.
Let's not worry about that.
You don't need to know."
And he's like, "Please don't mention this to Beau. Don't mention this to Beau." She gets her half of the check and she's turning to leave, and she thinks of her sister and how expensive everything in her life is right now. So she stops and she turns around and decides to do something bold. She tells him that she actually might be talking to Beau again, and she really, really hopes that she doesn't let this slip out of her mouth. He grabs his checkbook and asks what number will ensure that she's quiet. She tells him $250, which is the price of the anime fest her little sister wants to go to.
Bitch. It would have been like $5,000.
Well, yeah, he looks surprised, but he writes a check. He hands it over. She doesn't look at it yet. She gets into her car, and when she flips the check over, it's for $5,000.
Oh my God!
On the memo of the check is a phone number and SPC.
What is SPC?
Delicious players club.
She's wondering if humiliating herself was worth $5,000.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
It turns out it is. She's like, "Yeah, okay." She immediately goes home and tells her mom and sister to get ready for dinner. It's her treat.
She's like, "I randomly came into some money.
I found it on the street."
So let's go. She's at the dinner table. I zone out while shoveling ice cream into my mouth, thinking about the way he touched my cheek, how strangely gratifying it felt when he said that one word, "lovely." He didn't call me pretty or say, "You look nice." This was different. It was approval.
Daddy's approval.
Daddy.
She is thinking about the situation after dinner with his dad, and she's like, "The only conclusion is he thinks I'm a fucking prostitute."
Yeah.
And that he's into, obviously, submissive sex if he wants women on their knees, like, immediately right when he walks in the room. She still can't stop thinking about it later on that night, and she went even as far as to write the phone number down before she cashed the check. So she's like, "I'm going to use this later." She Googles the number with his name next to it, and a website pops up, but the only thing on the website is a black screen that says "members only." She scrolls down on the website, but finds, like, links.
Uh-huh.
They're little links to pages. It says, "Salacious Players Club, a dating escort service soon to be expanding operations to a full-service members-only club in California's Briar Point District." She keeps scrolling, like, past all these links to all these different pages. Like, there are a bunch of different kinks, stuff that you will be able to find at the Players Club when you're a member.
Mm-hmm.
But her eye catches on a specific page called a praise kink. When she clicks it and it takes her to another page with a photo of a woman on her knees and a man holding her chin, she immediately clicks out of it. A little too familiar.
Oy.
This happened to me yesterday.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit.
She finally drifts to sleep around 2 a.m., but her dreams are filled with the office situation. She wakes up horny and anxious all day. Horny all day long. Hell is so.
Anxious.
She's at work stocking skates. I don't know where she works. Is it like a...
It's a skating rink.
It is a skating rink. We learned. She's stocking the skates when a familiar voice comes from behind her. Emerson is at her work asking for a size 11 and a half skate.
He's like, "Damn, that's above average."
He's like,
"Sorry.
You know about feet."
"I got big ones."
He tells her a hello and then says he was joking about the skates. He's not there to skate. She wants to know how he found her, and he pulled her up on Instagram and saw a photo of her in a neon outfit with a bunch of skaters and made an assumption. He asks if they can talk. She leads him to a booth and they sit down. She asks if this conversation has to do with yesterday, and he says it kind of does. She asks if it has to do with Beau, and he says yes. He wants to know if she has talked to him since he hasn't. He's visibly upset and then straightens and says that he'd like to offer her a job. So, like, she's like, "No, I don't fucking talk to him. We broke up."
He's the worst.
The ex-boyfriend,
she's like, "I hate him."
He's like, "Okay,
yes, I'll take the job."
Yeah, she's nervous and starts to blush, and he quickly corrects that it's a real job, a secretary job, not an escort job.
Sex-cretary.
We'll see about that.
She makes a joke and is like, so no kneeling on this job? And he's like, no, paperwork.
Boring. No. I want to kneel. Take my chair away. I will work like this.
She's super fidgety, and he asks if there's something she wants to ask him. She wants to know if he thought she was a prostitute yesterday, and he says no, but he doesn't expand. So
I thought you were something else.
Something else.
We're going to suck my dick.
Yeah. She asks another question. This girl has a lot of questions.
Nosy Rosy.
She is. I mean, I think I would be too, though.
Yeah.
I'd be like, tell me it all. Give me the goss.
What's the hot goss?
What's the 411?
Well, do you have a lot of random women just showing up in your office ready for you to bark orders at them and get on their knees for you? Sometimes, he replies confidently as if that wasn't the craziest thing he's ever confessed to. My mouth goes dry. And you pay them? Yes, I do. Well, I hate to break it to you, but that sounds a lot like prostitution. Prostitution involves sex, Miss Underwood. I don't have sex with women for money.
Okay.
Interesting.
So, they're just like these little puppy dogs.
Yes.
Great dog.
She's speechless and says there's no way that he just pays women to kneel in his office because what's the fucking point? He says, the point is I like it and they're willing to do it. She starts to smile and she says her vagina starts doing the speaking for her because, remember, she's been horny. And she goes, so how'd I do? She's like, bold.
Her vagina's like, hey,
and how did I do? Do you like it? Did I do a good job? He tells her that she did exceptional, even though she didn't know what she was doing. She laughs, but wants to know what qualifies as exceptional since she didn't actually do what he likes. And he says, Miss Underwood, you looked exquisite on your knees. That's how exceptional she was. She's speechless. She asks if he isn't hiring her as the kneeling girl because her relationship with Bo, and he says no. It's because he actually needs a secretary, and it seems like she needs money, which I was like, that's kind of rude.
Okay. Yeah, you're just
don't pay more than this
peasant.
He informs her that her duties will include helping her on the office, bringing him coffee, lunch, helping with paperwork, and he'll pay her better than the rink and there will be full benefits. He tells her to think on it and stands to leave, but she grabs his arm and asks if Salacious Players Club is inclusive, and he wants to know what she means by that, and she says LGBTQ friendly, and I put, we love a supportive girl.
Yeah, an ally.
Yeah.
Ally.
And he says, obviously, like, why wouldn't it be? And she's like, okay, cool. I'll take the job.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So she's like, the only way I'm fucking working there is if you guys aren't pricks.
Yeah. It's important to her.
Yeah, it is.
Good.
You learned why.
Okay. I was like, is there a reason, though?
There is a reason.
Okay.
It's a good reason,
yeah, too. It's very cute.
Oh.
She is told that she needs to start tomorrow at 9 a.m. After her shift at the roller rink, she goes to the mall because she doesn't have any type of clothes that a secretary would wear. So she settles on a black pencil skirt and a sheer white blouse. And I put every porn star secretary attire.
Yeah.
She even gets a new black lacy bra and panties, and she gets the garter belt that clips to her thigh high.
Just in case.
What are those? Thigh high tights.
Hat.
Yeah. While she's looking at her new outfit in the mirror of the dressing room, she's like wondering what her hidden kink is because she has never felt sexy until right now. She's never given thought. She's
like, about this.
She's like, I like this. She even goes to think that her king could be even submissive and praise. She leaves the dressing room, buys all the outfits that she like. Hot.
She's got $5,000.
Yeah, well, that's true. I was like, isn't she poor?
Not right now.
Right now.
She's not about to be either. She got cash money.
As she's leaving the hall, she notices a familiar person in front of her. It's Bo.
Fuck you, Bo.
He's with the girl.
They just broke up. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, he did cheat on her, though, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He spots her, and he says hello, and then mentions, why are you shopping? Like, you're poor.
You don't have money. You have to work two jobs. It's your daddy's money.
Yeah.
I'm going to fuck your dad.
She doesn't say that, but she says she got a new job, and he asks if she got the deposit from his dad, and she says yes. And then I put the nerve of this man. He asks where his half is.
I didn't fucking pick up your half.
Literally, she's like, I don't have your half. You have to talk to your fucking dad about that.
Yeah, go talk to your daddy, or I will.
And he's actually mad at her and says that he sent her there to get the whole thing so he can just get her half from him. So he was like trying to use her. And she's like, oh yeah, we're not together. I don't have to listen to you. And just mid rant walks away.
Good.
Hell yeah. Oh. We go to Emerson's POV. He was expecting her to show up in something similar to what she wore the other day. He was not prepared for the hot, hot, hot outfit that she is in.
I got a bone. We're going to show up in sweatpants.
And he says that her outfit makes his hands itch with wanting to touch her. He notices her shirt is entirely see-through with her black lace bra beneath it. And he's like,
that is not a secretary outfit.
No!
Yeah, Miss Girl.
Excuse you. Have you had a job before?
HR would be floored.
Their whole situation is an HR nightmare.
Sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Haven't you ever seen the videos?
clearly not. He's like, we gotta go into my office. You have to fill out fucking paperwork. He says, I keep having to check myself. Her surprising appearance today has thrown me off. As hard as I try to stay neutral and behave as I normally would, I keep seeing my actions as being too forward and too sexual, which is not what I'm going for. She's just a secretary, not a sub. This is not a scene. Clear your head, damn it. So he's like trying to pep talk himself, like, don't fucking look at your son's ex-girlfriend like this.
Control yourself.
In her sexy outfit.
And your bra is literally out.
Yes. He gets her new hire paperwork and asks if she has any questions about the company. And of course, she does. Her first question is, so you hire girls to kneel and serve you. Is that what everybody does? And he says, no, that's just his personal preference. Everyone has their own fantasies they want fulfilled. Her other question is wanting to know what other things people do, and he's like, just depends on what they like. Role play, voyeurism, degradation, age play, edging. It's literally limitless. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
She admits that she doesn't know what half of those things are, and he says, doesn't matter. You don't need to know. You're just my secretary.
First, she's like, no.
I want to know. Her next question, though, she says, what's your kink? And he says, a dom-sub relationship. And she wants to know what he thinks her kink is. She's like, guess. Just look at me and guess. He's very shocked that she's asking this. And he says, I don't know you well enough yet. Besides, that's really up to you to decide, isn't it? I thought that was your job. She replies with a smile that shows her bright teeth in contrast to her scarlet red lips. You're supposed to help people find their deepest, darkest desires, aren't you? And he's like, I'm not doing this.
He's like, girl, you are playing with fire.
I'm a flirty girl.
Wants to get dick down.
But he's looking at her while he's like, I'm not gonna play this with you. And he has a really strong suspicion that she has a praise kink, but he doesn't say that out loud. And he's like, okay, fucking fill out your paperwork, I have to go. He's like, I'm already in trouble, I already know this is a bad idea.
I am going to get a bony if I keep
and a lawsuit you.
Yeah. We jump to Charlie's POV. He asks if she's done with her new hire packet so they can tour the club and meet everyone else. She's regretting her outfit now because she didn't know that she'd be meeting other people.
Girl, why did you not think that? He told you that you were a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
Not a sexcretary. The ride to the club is very silent and they arrive to a building downtown, which she's also surprised about. I don't know if she thought that it was going to be like in a shady, sketchy neighborhood, but she's like, oh, this is a nice part of downtown.
Nice. Okay, but he's rich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're greeted by the general contractor whose name is Drake, and she immediately notices how gorgeous he is. She describes him as like almost Greek god-like. Drake thinks that she is one of his special secretaries. It's supposed to be a secretary, but a secretary. And Emerson is annoyed and is like, stop eye fucking my secretary. She's just a secretary.
Why does everyone think I want to fuck her?
They walk away from Drake and she asks Emerson what his kink is, and he tells her that she can't just go around asking people that.
That's rude.
He's like, I will call HR.
He's also becoming a bit possessive over her, and he tells her not to ask because she is just a secretary and his son's ex-girlfriend, and it's super inappropriate. He also tells her not to flirt with any of the men she meets or the women. She gets mad in this moment because all she can hear is Beau telling her what she can and can't handle, making decisions for her, etc., etc., because apparently he was super controlling.
Yeah.
She snaps and tells him that she can take care of herself and quickly storms inside. There's construction everywhere. Stages being built, stripper poles being installed, VIP sections. Everything's going on. She meets Garrett and Emerson asks where Maggie is because Maggie has more paperwork for Charlie. She leaves them behind to find Maggie's office. She's walking down the hall filled with doors and she peeks into one of the rooms and it is a deep red room and a gold throne. So it's like a platform with a gold throne, like what a king or a queen would sit on. Emerson didn't follow them, but Garrett did, and he's behind her, like, while she's looking at this room. Garrett kind of, like, messes with her. He's like, go sit up there.
See how you like it.
Yeah, see if you like it. Test it out. She gets up there and sits down, and
I'm in charge now.
I am queen.
I am the captain.
She asks him, how do I look? And he says, now imagine how it would feel to have someone kneeling at your feet, worshiping you, bowing to your presence. He faces me and drops to his knees on the velvet cushions with his eyes on me, and as he lowers his gaze, I watch him bend his head downward and bow to me, his lips near my black stilettos.
Hot.
But she notices that even though there's no chemistry between her and Garrett, she's like hella soaked.
Oh, hella soaked.
Hella soaked.
He says, now imagine what someone could do from this position. Then Emerson walks in and says, what are you doing?
That's my secretary.
But I told him.
I sit down.
Garrett excuses himself from the room, leaving the two of them in there. Emerson reprimands her and says that he told her not to get involved with anything. And she's like, why did you bring me here or hire me then? And he's like, I don't fucking know.
He's like, it's just something in me.
I am regretting this decision.
Yeah. So she's like, okay, maybe it's not going to work out. And he's like, no. So he won't let her quit, but he's like, why'd I do this? Yeah. He says some bullshit excuse about when they're at the club, she can't leave his side because he has to protect her since she's his son's friend.
No, she's not.
They are not fucking friends.
No. And then he tells him, like, we still need to see Maggie, so let's fucking go. And then she gets more paperwork from Maggie. On the way home, he mentions that he was just trying to protect her. And again, she's like, if you're going to treat me like a child, you really shouldn't have hired me.
Yeah.
After a bit of silence, he asks if she's talked to Beau, and she mentions the mall run-in yesterday, and he wants to know how his son is. And she tells him about the security deposit argument and how he was mad at her for not getting it for him. He's confused as to why Beau would be mad at her, and she says he's always mad because he thinks she's nothing but a fuck up idiot loser.
Aww.
So again, Beau is pretty emotionally abusive.
He sounds like a dick.
Yeah, he is. He tells her that she's none of those things and he's sorry his son made her feel that way. He also apologizes again for the way he was towards her at the club. They go inside and she fills out more paperwork and she wonders if he looks at her like a daughter or a woman good enough for him, and she's picturing them together.
Oh,
that's a lot.
She leaves work to go pick her sister up from school because she never gets to, and her sister gets in the car and is immediately like, why do you look like a hooker?
Like, for real though.
Mm-hmm.
Valid point.
Why is your shirt see-through? Didn't you start a new job, you hoe?
Yeah. She takes her sister to the comic book store to see if they have the new release that her sister's been wanting, but she realizes once they get there she should have changed because the comic book store is filled with prepubescent boys, and she's like, half, you can fucking see your titties.
Yeah. Hey, lady.
Yeah.
Ew.
Gross.
Look at your boobies.
The comic is sold out, but she uses her shirt and boobs with the employee and is like,
are you sure you don't have any left? Do you got any in the back?
He goes and gets her one from the back, and she kisses his cheek and is like, thanks so much, Travis. She's like, reads his name down.
Oh my god.
It's Trav.
Yeah, but her sister still, she got the comic that she wanted.
Hell yeah.
Back to Emerson's POV. Him and Garrett are at the bar waiting for the other people to show up. So all the other guys. Garrett asks how the new girl was today and he replies, perfect.
She was perfect.
I loved her.
Garrett's happy that he doesn't have to waste any more time trying to find someone else for Emerson now, because he was the one trying to find the ladies for Emerson for the
Dawn sub thing.
Okay.
He goes to the bar to order another drink and thinks about how he should not have hired her because she turns him on.
Get too horned up.
Garrett apologizes for overstepping any lines today at the club, and Emerson reassures him that it's okay. He just doesn't want her involved in club stuff because he's trying to keep like two separate things.
But yeah.
The rest of the owners get there and they all cheers to the opening of the club in 6 weeks. We're at Charlie's POV. She's opening her email and sorting through club applications and is appalled by some of the pictures that are attached with the applications. So she's like sorting through like more doms for the club for like those special rooms. She's sorting like every type of kink you can imagine, like people applying to like enter into those rooms.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
She shows Emerson some of the applications, and one specifically has a woman tied up, and he explains it's called Shibari, and it's actually a popular request. She's like, have you done this? And he's like, no, I've never been tied up.
No.
She's like, okay, that's not what I wanted.
He's whatever. Like, I'm a virgin. Actually,
it's none of your business.
It's not. After working there for 14 days, though, she notices that he just keeps getting more attractive. So this is like 14 days later that they're going through applications and stuff.
Okay.
Over the last 14 days, he's asked her some personal questions to get to know her, but he's also asked about Bo a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He asks her to help him pick his club opening party outfit. She picks a deep satin blue suit and says he might want to consider matching with his date. He doesn't have a date. She's like, let me see your palm. Did you know I read palms? He's like, look, what?
It tells me that on your day.
Yeah. And he's like, what does this have to do with my suit? But he's like, okay, whatever, here you go. She proceeds to mention how he has a long heart line, which translates to a true all-consuming love. She also mentions that she has a long heart line too. Coincidence?
Oh, I think not.
No.
Twins.
She opens her eyes and tries not to cry. And when she opens them, he's staring at her. His expression is soft and caring, and he asks if that's what she wants, like to have an all true consuming love or whatever. She mentions that she won't settle for less. He casually mentions he will take her to the grand opening, and she's like, what the fuck?
This me? Is escalating quickly.
Me? She says, if people will be having sex, and he's like, maybe, but I don't. What does that have to do with you being my date?
She's like, because I want to.
Yeah. She also mentions that she doesn't have a dress that matches his suit, but he's like,
I'll just buy you one.
I'm literally loaded.
Yeah. Oh, you'll have
whatever
one.
You want.
They're staring, and the sexual tension is heightening, and she wants to kiss him. He squeezes her hand and leans forward. And he brushes his lips against hers softly.
What?
Oh, that escalated. 0 to 100.
But our nightmare.
Yes. But before he can deepen the kiss, his phone rings and she pulls away fast and puts distance between them. She says she's sorry and grabs her stuff to leave, but he says don't go, and he grabs her arm before she can walk away. She is very affected by this, but he doesn't seem affected at all. He's like pretty calm.
Mm-hmm.
He says it was inappropriate, but he doesn't want her to quit. He understands if she feels like she has to, but he doesn't want her to. And she's like, I'll stay. She's looking at the floor when he tilts her head up by gripping her chin. He reassures her it's not because he doesn't want her. And then he strokes her chin, cups the side of her face, and
they're getting to it.
You're such a good girl, Charlotte.
Thank you.
My shoulders relax, seeming to melt down at my sides as I gaze up at him, those beautiful words washing over me like warm water. Suddenly, I'm all gooey and compliant, like that little one phrase put me in a trance. He could literally do anything to me in this state.
And after that, they just get back to work. So they're kind of like brushing off the small kiss. I was like, whatever.
He's literally her boss. And yeah. Her ex is done.
Yeah, like it's nothing. She's like, I'm going to be Bo's stepmommy. And he's grounded.
Forever.
Bye, bitch.
We go back to Emerson's POV. His palm has been itchy for days, and he looks down at it often, thinking about what she said regarding the heartline. It's been 20 years since he wrote off love, because that's when Bo's mom and him, like, split up.
Okay.
But he can't stop thinking about what she said and how she looked saying it with her parted lips, dilated eyes, and excitement and arousal in her face.
Ooh.
He decides in that moment to try to call Bo again, and it goes to voicemail, but he leaves one this time. He details about how Charlotte works for him now, and he says that she talks about him so much, and it makes
literally doesn't.
Yeah, doesn't at all, and it makes him miss Bo even more. And then he's like, "Please call me back.
Call me."
She doesn't talk to him at all. Literally at all.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Charlie walks through the door as soon as he's done hanging up the phone, and she mentions that she hopes she's not late, but she walked to go get his lunch. And he's like, it's fucking February, and it's less than 45 degrees out. Like, what's wrong with your car? And she's like, it won't start.
Your car's broken.
Yeah.
He said,
He's like, why didn't you just tell me, like, speak up? And he mentions in, like, his inner monologue, he's like, my dom wants to punish her for lying.
Okay.
Calm down.
Yes, sir.
He grabs her cold hands and tries to warm them up. She won't look at him, though, and he realizes he's being too intimate again, so he drops her hands and mentions they should eat lunch in the dining room. They never eat lunch together. He comments after a couple minutes that her feet must be killing her because of how far she walked on her heels to go get him lunch, and he proceeds to demand that he gives her a foot rub.
Okay. Foot I'll know rub. What that leads to.
He takes her heels off, and then he tells her to take her black stockings off, but to do this, he doesn't know that she has to unclasp them from the garter, and he's like, oh, fuck, I have a boner now. That's so she, awful. Like, literally gets up, like, raises her skirt, unclasps from her garter, and he helps her roll the stockings down her legs and then grabs her feet and proceeds to massage them. She hums in pleasure and he for sure has a boner now.
Oh, yeah.
And then her foot accidentally inches forward and touches his boner.
You want a foot drop?
Her eyes...
That's not my kink.
No. Her eyes flee open and she stares at him. They sit in silence for a moment and then she purposely rubs her foot on his boner again. But her phone rings and breaks the sexual tension. Do you know who's calling?
Belle.
Yeah. She tears her feet away from Emerson and he's like, answer the phone. And so she's like, hello?
Nothing going on?
No.
I did not just touch your dad's boner with my belt.
He knew that Bo would reach out to her as soon as he left that voicemail, and he can't hear what his son is saying, but he's watching Charlie's body language. She's like slowly, like, on the phone, like making herself smaller because he's just berating her on the other end.
Ugh. Block his fucking number.
Yeah. She turns toward Emerson as Bo is saying something and she tells him that he's wrong. He gets out of his seat and Emerson grabs the phone from her and is like, Bo. Bo's like, fuck you. And hangs up.
What a bitch.
Honestly.
But we go back to Charlie's POV. Emerson is about to jump her car with cables because apparently the battery is just dead. And all she can think about is jumping him. So like looking at him and she's like, oh God.
In his cable.
He's hot. They get her car to start and he tells her to go get a new battery along with the dress for the grand opening next week. And he hands her like a shiny black credit card.
It's on me.
She doesn't want to take his card and thinks back to what Bo said on the phone.
What did that little bitch say?
Probably something bitchy.
Yeah, a little bitch.
He says, are you fucking him? He fucks his secretaries, Charlie. You think you know him, but you have no clue. He's sick.
Okay, you're sick, bitch.
She takes Emerson's card anyway, and he says if she's uncomfortable working here because of the conversation with Bo, he understands that if she needs to quit, she can quit.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm not quitting, but are you uncomfortable with me here? And he says he is uncomfortable, but it's not because of Bo. And doesn't elaborate. He just turns it around and goes back.
I think I know. What?
I think so.
He's so mysterious.
And he is. She goes shopping with Sophie for her dress. Sophie's her sister. Sophie mentions while shopping for the dress that Charlie's changing and she seems kind of upset about it. But she tries to reassure her sister by saying, like, sometimes change is good. And Sophie's like, sometimes change is scary.
Because
the last time their family changed is when their dad left them.
Oh, okay.
So I think Sophie's just scared that Charlie's going to leave her for some reason.
Right.
The night of the grand opening, Emerson texts her and says that he'll pick her up at 8. She's found a dress that is a shiny sapphire and gold floor-length gown.
Beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She's nervous as he pulls up, and then he steps out of the car as she almost falls over. Apparently, he looks very hot.
Good enough to eat.
Ooh, scrumptious.
He tells her that she looks very beautiful, and he helps her into the car. They get to the club, and when they step out, she tells him, don't worry, she'll protect him. And he's like, what do you mean? And she's like, from all the ladies, that's what I'm here for. Like, don't worry, you won't go home with a weirdo.
You're gonna go home with me.
And he leans forward as his lips brush her ear, and he whispers, I thought you were here as my date.
Mm.
This is an HR nightmare.
Absolute nightmare.
Your kisses?
Strictly forbidden.
Chef's kiss.
He breaks some of the tension and says that, in fact, she will be the one who needs protecting because that dress
is good. You getting fucked.
They meet Garrett, and Garrett cannot stop staring at Charlotte. We go back and forth between Charlie and Charlotte.
Yeah.
Like, towards the your half of the book, Charlotte, is when we like go pretty much only by Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So right now it's still bouncing back between Charlie and Charlotte. Only Emerson calls her Charlotte.
Because Charlie's like her casual name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Emerson tells Garrett that's enough, so he's getting possessive again.
Oy.
As she's looking around the room while they talk, her eyes catch on a pair of dark, ominous eyes watching her. It's an older man, maybe late 50s, and there's something familiar about him, but her memory can't place it, and she starts to get nervous.
Bad vibes.
Yep.
Is it her dad?
No.
Okay. She knows what her dad looks like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
True. Yeah, because her dad only left, what, like...
a year ago.
Yeah, not that long ago.
Okay. It's like, he looks familiar.
Can't place it.
Is that my dad?
Emerson knocks her out of the trance with the strange man by asking her for a dance. He pulls her close and they start to dance. She keeps staring at like all the partygoers, so she's kind of like dancing, but just like looking around.
Yeah.
And she catches the eye, more specifically, of the woman kneeling next to the poker player. So the man that she locked eyes with, mm-hmm. there's a woman kneeling next to him. And he's like petting her hair.
Oh.
And she's like, familiar. He asks her what she keeps looking at. So she tells him and asks if that's what he does when women kneel for him. He says sometimes. She asks if he wishes he had a secretary like that right now. And he leans down and says, you know, they weren't actually my secretaries, right? Or at least they weren't very good ones. Not as good as you. She replies, too bad you can't have the best in both worlds. And he says, yeah, too bad.
Yeah, you can.
She spends the next hour glued to Emerson's side. He introduces her as his date to everyone she meets and is never not touching her during that hour. She's wondering if this is normal or not, since she does work for him. Like, she's like, do normal men touch their secretaries like this?
No, ma'am, they do not.
But then she spots Drake, the hot construction worker from her first day. She gets introduced to everyone else, including their significant others, and Drake looks real nice.
Oh, hey, Drake.
Is still wandering around the room when she notices more people going down the hallway to the rooms. Her curiosity is killing her. So she's like, excuse me, I have to use the restroom. She walks up,
peeking everywhere.
Her. But there's a bouncer blocking the hallway. So she walks up to the bouncer in front of the hallway and he nods at someone across the room, then lets her in. She's like, maybe that was Emerson or maybe it was Garrett, but someone's allowing me to go back here.
Yeah.
She notices a couple people lingering in the hall and they're looking through windows. So some of the rooms do have like voyeur windows. So you can watch if that's what you're into. But she doesn't linger there long. She goes farther into the hallway and reaches the throne room, but there's people using it.
What are they doing?
Her thong is already hella soaked.
Hella soaked.
And she feels really awkward because she's never been aroused in public. She's kind of like, what the fuck?
She's like, who am I turning into?
She watches as three people in the throne room do something. And it's a bright light.
There's a woman sitting on the giant throne, and another is kneeling in front of her. Just as Gary illustrated for me, she's definitely doing what I think she's doing with her face buried between the other woman's legs. My mouth goes dry. It feels so wrong to be watching this, but I can't look away. There's someone standing next to the throne, but I can't quite make out if it's a woman or man. They're just stroking the woman in the chair's shoulders and head. Every few moments, the woman covers her face or lets out a giggle so loud I can make it out over the sound of the music in the main room. She looks almost euphoric, full of smiles and moans, shifting back and forth between embarrassment and pleasure.
Saucy.
All of a sudden, as she's watching this happening, Emerson is behind her and he wants to know if she's enjoying herself. He scares her a little bit.
Like, wait, sir?
She feels like she's been caught watching porn and masturbating, and he mentions that he was hoping he would find her in this area. He asks her if it feels liberating to know no one can see her here and to know she can do whatever she wants. They're both watching the show in the room when the man starts to proceed to fuck one of the girls. Charlie turns her head away, but Emerson grabs her chin and gently turns her back. Watch them. You know you want to. She wants to leave because, again, she's hella soaked. But he tells her she can touch herself if she wants. She says,
no. I couldn't possibly.
No.
Come on, Prim.
Right? She tries to move away again. She feels his boner on her lower back.
He's like, touch yourself. Do you want to get fired?
Emerson is hard and he's rubbing his erection against me. You feel that? He whispers. That's what you do to me.
You feel that?
What if she's like, no?
That's my weenie.
That's my penis.
Knowing the effect I have on him drives me to shift my hips back just slightly, and he responds with a growl in my ear. She...
Have you read a book without growling yet?
No.
Not one. She, for once, doesn't feel like this is wrong, and it feels pretty natural and normal, and she thinks it might be because of the club and the darkness, but she doesn't know if it's just her and him, like their chemistry. He grabs her hand, and the other grabs her dress and lifts it up. Touch yourself, Charlotte. His lips are next to her ear, and she relaxes against him and does what he says. That's it, Charlotte. Good girl.
His words spur me on, sending bolts of lightning through my body. My own fingers rub my clit in fast circles, and it feels so good. It's a relief. Emerson's hand rests over mine, but he isn't touching me. Instead, he grips my hip with one hand and grinds his erection against my backside. You are so fucking beautiful. Make yourself come, baby. It's always an erection at the back. Always an erection at the back.
Mm-hmm. She turns back towards the throne room where the threesome is ending. She comes, by the way. But one of the women catches her eye, and there's something really familiar about her, and Charlie's seen her before. The woman gives a small wink, then pulls the curtain closed.
Not for you.
She's like, we're done. She rushes to the bathroom and feels as though everyone knows what she did. As she's washing her hands, she looks up and sees the woman from the throne room. She does know her. It's Madame Kink from the SPC website she first looked at when she Googled it. Madame Kink tells Charlie that she's stunning, and she can't believe this woman thinks she's pretty, because Madame Kink obviously is a beautiful goddess.
Madame Kink?
That's her government name.
I put Stacey Kink.
Madame Kink takes her hand. Emerson Grant is a fucking god, and he spent the whole night obsessed with you, and you look nervous. I'm not nervous, I lie. I wish that were true. I wish I was the sexy, confident type of woman she is, the kind Emerson wants. Good, don't be nervous. Just be yourself. That's the beauty of this place. Emerson's given us somewhere to finally be free. Us, I ask, and she says, yeah, you don't think this place is just for men, do you?
It's for everyone.
And on the way home, Emerson is really silent. He asks if she enjoyed herself, and she replies yes. He also mentions all her membership fees are waived, and she just has to sign waivers if she wants to just go to the club by herself. She stops at mid-sentence and is like, I won't go back without you.
Oh, she has to provide negative test results, too.
Yeah. So she has to sign waivers and the negative STD results. Okay. And then she can go whenever she wants. She can do whatever her heart desires.
She's like, no, I only want to... Yep. You.
They go back to sitting in silence, and they pull up to her house, and she's about to leave. She thanks him for taking her again and kisses his cheek. But before she pulls away, he grasps the back of her neck and says, just for tonight, as he kisses her, a light kiss, and it ends just as quick.
Just for tonight. Then you will be my little puppy.
Yeah. I'll see you Monday, Charlotte. Yes, sir, I reply, and he freezes for a moment, my gaze locked with his as my words echo between us. I didn't really mean to say it, but it just came out, and obviously it had an effect on him. It's written all over his face. I wonder if he's thinking about that first day, the day he thought I was his new sub, when he told me to kneel and address him as sir, because it's exactly what I'm thinking about. And then she quickly walks to her pool house apartment. I forgot to mention, she lives in a little pool house on the side of the house.
On the side of her mom's house.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're still in Charlie's POV. Emerson texts her sometime on Sunday to let her know she can just let herself in on Monday because he has a meeting, but he'll be back at 10. She replies, yes, sir. She's just egging him on.
Oh, yeah, she is.
So I'm going to get that Duke.
She then proceeds to Google search all Sunday everything that has to do with dom-sub relationships. He never responds to her. Yeah. She gets to his house early Monday. She chose the same outfit from her first day. She tries her best to focus on her daily tasks until she hears the garage open at 10:15. She rushes to the center of the room, drops the pillow on the floor, and falls to her knees. She bows her head, placing her hands in her lap. She's debating standing, but it's too late. He's reached the office door. What are you doing? She replies, being a good girl, sir.
Oh.
Yeah. She's like, I'm gonna get this to move real quickly here.
She's like, you will fuck me. You will be having
sex with me. He takes a heavy breath, steps close enough to touch her, and tilts her head.
You are such a good girl, he says, and I nearly melt into the floor. You want to learn how to be a good sub? Yes, sir, I reply. His jaw tenses as he deliberates his response. Fine, but not every day, understand? I try to fight back my smile, but it slips through anyway. Yes, sir. I want there to be days when you're just Charlotte, okay?
Okay. Okay.
He also tells her to speak up if she doesn't like it and they'll stop. He is like, hey, we need to go over like what your limits are, your hard passes, safety, stuff like that. She's like, oh, don't worry. That's ready for you. She literally has it already like down to a T on what she's doing like
all weekend.
He's really surprised by this, but he's like, okay, let me see. And she goes to stand up, but he stops and he says, crawl for me.
Yes, daddy.
Yes. She crawls to her desk and grabs the paper, and she's debating on how she's gonna crawl back with it, but he tells her to put it between her teeth. She does and crawls back, then gets to her kneeling position. He strokes her hair as he's looking it over, and I put, I think petting is a new ick for me.
Petting?
Yeah.
Petting.
It's a little scratch behind the ear.
Keep going, like, yeah. That's my spot.
Ooh, yeah.
He wants to know where she got the list from, and she said that she printed it online and asks if it's okay. He says it's perfect, and he praises her.
Good girl.
The list has over 200 items, and I had to rank each one from 0, being an absolute hard limit, to 5, being very interested, please do. Most of the list landed at a 3, which means curious, naturally. To be honest, most of the items were hard to rank because they involve sex, and Emerson and I don't have that kind of relationship yet. All I know is the more I'm with him and the more he pushes me past my limits, I want more. And then she goes on to be like, paddling is a 3, caning is a 2, serving is a 5, bondage 3, bootlicking 0.
Yeah.
Sex, no answer. It's blank.
Uh-oh.
Everything in the sex category is blank, from hand jobs to fisting. 0 on the last one if I had to rank it.
I prefer to not.
Yeah, I prefer no.
Please do not put your fist at me.
After what feels like forever, he finally speaks up about the list. He finds it interesting and reassures her that he's not interested in physical punishment, but wants to know why there's unrated answers. She says that she's not sure what to put in those spots. He tells her sex isn't necessary, especially when he's willing to teach her how to be a proper sub, but they have to maintain an appropriate relationship, and she's disappointed. But like, how is being your sub not, like, it's not gonna be appropriate?
No, it's already inappropriate.
Yeah. He tells her for now to go to her desk and be silent, only addressing him as sir if she has a question. If he needs her, he'll call her over. Sometime later, he calls her over. He asks to do a conference call with the other owners and the club's lawyer. He wants her to kneel beside his desk, but assures her no one will see her. She replies, yes, sir. She's pretty disappointed, though. She really thought he'd be paying more attention to her and for something to feel good instead of just being ignored.
Right.
But she decides she's going to see it through and see how it plays out. She's like, I'll just tell him later I didn't like it. He'll understand.
No, girl.
During the meeting at one point, he looks down at her, brushes her hair out of her face, and strokes her hair over and over again. Still a nick.
Yeah, I don't know if I like the petting. I like my hair played with.
He gently rolls his chair back, turns toward her, which exposes his leg, and she rests her cheek against his thigh. Perfect, he whispers. She's content now that he's doing this and doesn't feel stupid anymore. Like, she's like, oh, okay, like, his attention is deliberate. Like, I have to, like, actually do what he says to get it. The meeting ends and work resumes the same. She's relieved it's 5 o'clock, though, so they can just be Emerson and Charlotte again. He's like, okay, that's enough for today, but what did you think? She's like, not what I thought it would be, but I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what parts did you like? She says, it's not really what I like as your sub. My job is to please you. And he's like, you've done your research.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
Good answer.
But he still wants to know, like, okay, but seriously, what's your favorite part? And she says doing things for him is her favorite, and he agrees with her. And then she leaves for the night feeling a little bit disappointed because they couldn't, like, do more. Like, she thought, like, something sexual would still happen.
Yeah, come on, get to it.
We go to Emerson's POV. He's in his bathroom looking at his reflection, but he doesn't see himself. He sees her on her knees in his office. He mentions there's no room in his mind for regret with how much desire there is. For years, I've accepted that these dominant cravings were just part of who I am. I was happy with that, but never fully satisfied with anyone who came along. Now the craving is much stronger than ever, and I have the terrifying notion that Charlotte might actually be perfect for me, and that's a real problem.
No, it's not. Fuck well.
He jerks off to the fantasy of her giving him a blowjob from under his desk while he was on that conference call. He hopes jerking off to her one time will get it out of his system, but that's never how it works.
No. Nay.
He comes hard. He thinks tomorrow he will tell her that he can't teach her how to be a sub and she needs to find someone else. He needs to focus on work only and getting his son back. But after the shower, he sees a text from her. It's a picture of a giant wooden framed X with restraints at each end, with the follow-up text asking if he's used one of these. He texts back saying that she should be sleeping, but no, he hasn't because he's not into impact play. She's like, I'm going to Google that. Then she texts back and she's like, I don't think I like that either. She has one more question. Everything is really sexual. Is it even possible to do this without sex? And he has a boner again reading that because that's not what he thought.
He's like, I can't control myself. You give me a boner.
My weenie is hard.
He replies, it is possible. It just means our options are limited. Yes, the dom sub activities are mostly sexual in nature, but the dynamic is not. And the dynamic is what I like the most. She's still relentless with asking questions because she asks if he had sex with all of his other secretaries. And he says most of them. And he notices that it takes her a bit longer to reply. And then all she says is, oh.
Okay, woman.
Yeah.
He's an old man.
He waits to see if she has more to say, and after a couple minutes, she confides that she likes being submissive and just wants to be enough for him and to make him proud, even if they can't have sex. That made his boner worse, because she still just wants to please him, and that's his turn on. He types his message, but chooses to ignore most of hers, and all he says is, you made me very proud today. You are more than enough. You are perfect. And then he says, the throbbing organ in my chest swells as I hit send. This is more than arousal, more than wanting to fuck her or hear her call me sir. If I were 20 years younger, she's exactly the kind of girl I'd want. Why Beau let her get away, I have no clue, but I'm finding myself more and more addicted to this girl with each passing day. And his phone pings one more time, and all she says is, yes, sir. He's like, I'm being blocked. We go back to Charlotte's POV. She refers to her day as the no fun day. So the days that they're just Charlotte and Emerson instead of their little role playing. And they do this every other day.
Okay.
So they do one dom sub day, one no fun day.
Boring.
Boring. They have a meeting at the club for a sex toy supplier to sell some stuff. When they get there, Charlotte is staring at Drake and blushes because he's winking at her. Emerson notices it and he's like, this fucking guy. And he's like glaring at both of them. And she's like,
you won't fuck me.
You won't. A redheaded woman with a tote bag walks in, and her and Emerson actually know each other. And he tells her that he's proud of her for starting this new business venture. And Charlotte wants to scream since he's praising another woman. Like, she kind of was like, we established this relationship, so now he's just praising someone else.
Unacceptable. Not allowed.
No. The woman notices Charlotte and asks if this is his new secretary. He says, yes, this is Charlotte. Charlotte, please greet Monica Taylor, an old employee of mine.
Monica. Fuck you, Monica.
Charlotte realizes that she does not want to be nice to Monica. She's like, I know what you did for this man.
You fucked him.
And she also hates the way that he ordered her to say hi. So she's like, hey. So she like defiantly is like, no. Out of the corner of her eye, she sees his face fall and Monica's eyes widen. And Monica's like, oh shit, she disobeyed him.
You fiend.
Monica goes on with her presentation and mostly focuses on Emerson. She even goes as far as saying that she would love for Emerson to give her a tour of the club. Charlotte goes to follow them since that's what she's supposed to do when she's there, is to stay next to him. And he's like, stop, you stay here. So he takes Monica to the back.
The audacity.
Charlotte's on the verge of crying, but she's not sure why. She's like, we're not together. We're not fucking. Like, why am I so upset about this?
Yeah, buck up, Charlotte.
Yeah, buck up. But after a couple minutes, she hears her name being called, and Drake's like, hey, come over here and help Hunter. Hunter's the only married one of the group.
Hi.
Make a choice on sex toys to get his wife. And Hunter's like, please stop doing this. And Drake's like, it's fine. Charlotte will let you know if your wife's gonna like this fucking vibrator. And Charlotte's like,
maybe not me. Not me. I don't think I should.
And then Drake's like, I dare you.
You can't turn down a dare.
You can't.
You cannot.
So grabs the vibrator. It's remote controlled, by the way. Forgot to mention that.
Does she stick it up her vagina?
She goes to the restroom and puts it in. But before she leaves the restroom, she's wondering if she can keep a straight face because even with it, like, in her, she's already about to come.
It like goes in and then like the front part like touches her clit.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's a snug fit.
Oh.
She leaves the restroom and walks towards them, and Drake turns it on. She tells him to wait a second, and he laughs because he's like, bitch, that's the lowest setting. Like, calm down.
He's like, we haven't even got to the chair.
He turns it up and she literally bows over and tries to focus on not coming. When it stops, she lunges towards him to try to rip the remote from his hands, but he's like holding it over her head.
Hey, you can't get it.
Yeah. He turns it up again, but a higher notch, and she moans like a porn star, and he just sits there and laughs. Emerson walks in, though, and the buzzing stops, and he's like, what is fucking going on here? She describes Emerson looking at her like she betrayed him, and he looks hurt, and she doesn't want to disappoint him further. And Drake is like, just relax, man. We're doing an experiment. We're trying to see how what setting will get her to come.
God, dude. Calm down.
Yana. Fuck you. You went to the back with Monica.
Monica.
Fucking Monica.
Drake also tells Emerson that she clearly failed because she can't even walk with all in the lowest setting. And she's like, fuck you, Drake.
She's like, watch me walk.
She walks
like walking like a penguin.
Yeah. She walks towards the bathroom to take it out, but Emerson stops her. He takes the remote from Drake and tells her it's time to go. She's like, where are we going? He's like, out to lunch.
A little lesson.
Thoughts betray me.
You gonna come while you eat.
That would be awful.
It's awful. She knows that she's fucked and he doesn't talk from the drive. Like, he's completely silent. And she's thinking about what he was doing with Monica, and she realizes again that she's more upset about him treating her like a sub than the fact if they would have just had sex. She's like, that's more upsetting to me. That's my job.
Yeah.
They get to a fancy golf course restaurant, and as he pushes her chair in for her, he leans down and whispers, behave yourself. She's not sure what he means, but when the waiter comes by, she says, will you order for me? I ask, setting my menu down. He gazes at me over the top of his. What's wrong? Feeling nervous? Yes, of course I am. Why? My brows furrow. You know why. And he says, we're in public, Charlotte. You can't expect me to cause a scene here, do you?
I wouldn't do that.
It's like... What makes you think I'm too bad?
Look, I am.
She knows he's baiting her, but she asks him if Monica was a special secretary, and he says yes. And he's like, is that why you were rude? She's like, I wasn't rude. I greeted her.
She's like, okay.
I said, hey.
Settle down.
He mentions that he specifically ordered her to greet her because he wanted Monica to know that she was his, not his regular secretary.
Oh.
She misunderstood.
Jumped the gun on that one.
She did not understand the assignment.
No. She's speechless by this, and he starts to say if she doesn't want to do this anymore or obey him, they can stop, and she says that she doesn't want to. She's not sure why in that moment she wanted to disobey him, but he smirks and comments, very interesting. She asks if him and Monica slept together, and he's honest. He tells her yes. Their meal gets there at the time that he answers the question, so she doesn't focus on being disappointed. She's like fucking starving. And after they finish eating, she asks if he slept with her today on the tour, and he's like, why the fuck would I do that?
And
yeah,
he's like, girl.
He's like, I'm trying to get these sex toys for the club. Calm down.
I don't fuck.
He did not have sex with her, and he's like, why? If I did, would it make you mad? And she's like, yes, but I know I have no right to be. And he asks, what about you? She says, what about me? He says, you flirted with Drake. And as she's trying to deny that she flirted with him, he turns the vibrator on.
Punishment.
He tells her to behave again and says this is a pretty fitting punishment for her. She again tries to say that she wasn't flirting. And even if she was, she's not his. She's cut off because he turned it up again. She has to force herself to keep still. She comments how this is a strange punishment, and he says, is it? The vibrator stops. She takes a huge drink of water and then tells him it's not her fault that Drake is a natural flirt. And he says, but you put the toy in. Did you have permission? And she's like, did I need permission? And he turns it on even higher. So he turns it back on and turns it up.
I think you need permission.
It's unbearable, and she asks him to stop. He does it. He's staring at her with his pupils dilated and runs his finger along her arm. He whispers, you can take it, and turns it up another notch. She does her best to keep quiet and still, but she comes. He doesn't turn it off, and she begs him to stop.
I like the way you beg, he whispers. Tell me what you'll do to make it stop. With a small gasp, I look around to see if anyone is looking at us. Eyes on me, he commands quietly, and I turn my gaze back to him. I'll do whatever you want, I reply. I'll listen to you when you tell me to do something. I'll never flirt with Drake again. Good. Are you going to accuse me of being with someone else while I'm with you? My gaze intensifies and I shake my head. No. You trust me? I nod. I belong to you as much as you belong to me, Charlotte. If I'm your dom, I'm no one else's. Don't ever assume I would do that to you. Understand?
She replies, yes, sir, and she tells him she'll be good. The vibrations stop. He pays the check and they leave. They get back to his house and she goes to take the toy out, cleans it, and puts it in her purse because she feels weird just being like, here's this back.
I hate this.
You want that?
She continues the rest of the day working in silence. When she goes to leave, he gives her the black remote. She tells him to keep it and she'll keep the other piece. He smiles. As she leaves his house for the night, she has the realization that she's falling in love with Emerson.
Yeah. Oh my God.
The next morning, her list is on her desk, open to page 4, which are all the unanswered sex questions. She asks why it's there and he says, I realized that what we did yesterday was wrong of me. I should have never used that toy on you as a punishment because it was an unanswered question on this form and I don't normally make mistakes like this. She tells him she was okay with it, but he needs to know that she's okay with it beforehand. Like, he wants her consent.
Yeah.
He didn't get it. She thinks he means this also means they will have sex, but sadly he says no, but she needs to fill it out anyways.
Five.
All of it.
Five.
All of it. She's in the bad mood for the rest of the day now. She feels stupid and like another Monica, so pretty much just replaceable. She pushes the packet aside and works until lunch before realizing it's supposed to be a Dom sub day, so they're not doing that.
It's a no fun day. Even though it's not supposed to be.
She's in the kitchen eating lunch when he asks why she's pouting. Because he doesn't like the brat thing. Remember, that's why the last girl got fired. Mm-hmm. She's like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, brat thing is where you intentionally misbehave and warrant yourself punishment for my attention. And I don't like that. She stands up to him and demands that maybe he should do a form so she can figure out what the fuck he wants and settles all the confusion. She says, you want me to lay all of my cards out on the table for you, but what about you, sir? I throw so much sarcastic emphasis on his title that it makes his jaw clench. Where's your form? Why aren't you obligated to admit everything you want, even if it means making yourself vulnerable? Come on, Emerson. You think this is how I want to do this? He mutters darkly. You think I'm not dying to know what you'd rate those things on that list, even though I know I'd be the worst father in the world if I ever did any of them? I'll fill out that form for you if you want, but I don't need to. You want me to tell you that I want to taste you, Charlotte? Because I do. I want to touch you, tease you, fuck you, bend you over my knee, and turn that pretty little backside red. There's not a thing on that list I don't want to do with you, so you could put the paper and pen away, little girl. Every single thing would get a 5 from me.
Yeah.
Damn.
She tells him she's not sure what to say to that, and he just tells her to fill out the fucking form because she still hasn't yet. Mm-hmm. He like gave it to her, was like, do the unanswered one. She's like, yeah. She grabs it, goes to the kitchen, and takes the next hour to fill it out. She sets the list on his desk, but he's not there. After a couple of hours of working, he's still missing, so she decides to roam around his house and check stuff out. She's peeking in rooms when she finally sees him in the home gym. His back is to the door, and he's shirtless. She knocks and announces her presence. She comments on how he disappeared and he said that he had to get some aggression out. She makes a joke about how he can get some aggression out on her.
Get your aggression out on this vagina.
She goes and stands in between his knees and he pulls her close. He starts rubbing the back of her leg. She leans into him and lets him know that the form is filled out. He says, good. She starts to rub his shoulders and he says, is there any use in trying to avoid this? Because I gotta tell you, I'm a little tired of trying, Charlotte. And she whispers, then stop trying. And just as they're about to kiss, the doorbell rings.
Do you know who it is? Is it fucking Bo?
It's Bo.
He says, I need my mommy.
So Emerson throws on his shirt and they both rush down to the office and try and act natural. He hasn't seen Bo in 6 months, and he notices that he just looks different. Bo tells him that he's just here for the check. Emerson invites him in, and Bo sees Charlotte and is staring at her. Sharp pangs of jealousy assault me because, of course, he can't look away. Charlotte is the epitome of beauty, and although I wouldn't have said it when she started working for me, she's the epitome of sophistication now. He brags to Bo about what a good secretary she is. He tells Bo to come in and say hello to her. He does, and they hug. He tells Charlotte she looks different, but good different. Emerson excuses himself and tells them to catch up. When he comes back in, Bo is telling Charlotte how his life is falling apart since he lost her and is asking for another chance. They notice Emerson and stop talking.
No, Bo.
He writes Bo a check, plus a check for $10,000 to get him through his rough patch. He tells him to come back for more if he needs it. And Bo is just like, ugh, thanks. He hands him a $100 bill and tells Bo to take Charlotte out for dinner. He wants them back together so Charlotte isn't an option anymore. She reluctantly agrees and they leave together.
Ew.
Yeah. Quit trying to get rid of her. Watching her walk away with him is torture. But I'm doing this to myself for a good reason. Charlotte is not mine, no matter how much it feels like she is.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Bo has his hand on her thigh while she's driving. And Bo says instead of dinner, they should order pizza and go to his place. She notices that he Ubered to his dad's house. So this
must have been, like, his plan for it to end up with her taking him.
Oh.
Yeah, like, he didn't bring his car.
What the fuck?
Everything he says and everything he does is giving her the ick. She's not into him, like, at all anymore.
Yeah, he's a dick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's upset that Emerson pawned her off on Bo, and Bo asks if she likes her new job, and she says she really does, and she thinks she can work her way up in the company. Bo is grossed out and tells her that his dad's company is perverted. They pull up to her house, and her sister is outside. Sophie sees Bo in the car, looks disappointed, and leaves, because she fucking hated Bo.
Yeah, rightfully so.
When they get inside, Bo apologizes for telling her what a freak his dad is, and she says he's not a freak. He says that he cheated on her because his dad is a sex freak. Like, he's like, that's the reason I cheated on you, is because my dad opened that sex club, and I cheated on you.
Yeah, I had to cheat.
I had to. It's in my blood. Yeah. She gets super mad, and she shuts him down completely and tells him that they are never, ever, ever getting back together.
Good. Good.
He asks if she's sleeping with his dad, and she says no, which, like, not a lie.
No.
Not a lie. He asks if there's someone else, and she doesn't answer, so that's confirmation for him. He looks sad, and she offers to take him home. When she gets to his house, Bo tells her he thinks his dad will be disappointed because he was clearly trying to get them back together. He says maybe one day he'll be good enough for her.
No.
She hugs him and tells him that she'll be here for him, always. And he leaves.
Good.
She's like the bigger person.
Yeah.
She pulls away thinking about how Emerson pawned her off on Bo, and she's livid. She speeds to his house to give him a what for. When she steps onto the porch, the light turns on and he opens the door. Like, she doesn't even have to knock. She tells him that she doesn't want Bo anymore and asks him if he read the form she filled out. He tells her that they can't do this anymore, any of it, like even the dom sub stuff.
Oh.
She asks why she's being denied. Why doesn't it matter what she wants? He tells her he never should have hired her, and she asks why he would say that.
Stop it, Emerson.
Why are you fighting this, Emerson?
You said you wanted to stop trying.
Suddenly, his body is pressed against me, one hand around my lower back and the other cupping my jaw. His face is only inches from mine as he whispers, because I didn't expect you to be so perfect. I had no idea keeping my hands off you would be this hard. And then I walked in that day and found you on your knees. He squeezes his eyes shut, pressing his forehead against mine. Jesus Christ, Charlotte, you have no idea what you do to me.
Oi, oi, oi.
She tells him that she loves the way she feels around him and that she doesn't want to deny something that makes her feel so good. He tells her that nobody can ever find out about them, and she says that's fine if that's what it takes. I barely get the words out before his mouth comes crashing against mine. It happens so fast, we are lost in the nuclear current of lips and tongues and teeth, starving for each other. His mouth tastes like bourbon, and he kisses me with long, powerful strokes of his tongue that send butterflies straight to my stomach.
Finally! I know, Jesus.
They're making out like crazy. He backs her against a wall, kisses her neck, grabs her ass, and picks her up. She wraps her legs around his waist, and she can feel his erection against her clit as he grinds into her. He tells her to get on her knees and pull his dick out.
Oh, see
how all the spicy stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
The rest of the book is just fucking.
I'm so eager to have his cock in my hand. My fingers fumble with his zipper while his hand gently brushes back my hair. I'm hit with a sudden sensation of, I can't believe this is happening, mixed with, thank God this is finally happening, creating one epic feeling of carnal elation and excitement. When I finally get his button undone and his zipper down, I see the tip of his waiting cock, red and throbbing, poking out of the top of his tight black boxers. Gently easing down the elastic, I slowly let this sight sink in. I'm looking at Emerson Grant's cock just inches away from my face. Gazing up at him with my sex-crazed doe eyes, I whispered, now what? He smiles before biting his lip. What do you want to do with it? Mirroring his expression, I bite my own lip. I want to suck your cock, I say, my sweet tone laced with false innocence. He leans down and puts his face close to mine. You have to ask nicely. Sir, I breathe, pressing against his lips. Can I please suck your cock?
Jesus.
He growls, squeezing his fist in my hair.
She's gonna leave.
as he kisses me with so much strength it almost hurts. You're so phenomenal, and the praise lights a fire in my belly. My panties must be destroyed by now, and I swear it'll take one touch against my clit and I'll be done for. I thought the hallway moment was the hottest thing I've ever done, but that was before I had the full Emerson Grant experience. With his hand still in my hair, he stands upright and guides my face towards his crotch, pulling his waistband down even farther. I run my tongue along the length of his shaft, reaching the head and circling my lips around it. He gasps and shifts his hips forward. I love his reactions and I want to make him do more. So I lick his cock again and again, teasing him just to feel him tense and hear him pant.
A little doggy.
When I finally open my mouth and slide him in along the length of my tongue, he moans so loud the vibrations rattle through me. Fuck, Charlotte. Yes, I need more of that, I think, as I bob up and down on his shaft, finding my rhythm and coating his dick with saliva. When he touches the back of my throat, I gag and take a breath before letting him go deeper and deeper. He stops breathing at one point. I died? And I'm almost certain he's going to unload in my mouth. I've never experienced spitting or swallowing before, but I would for him.
Okay, then what would she do?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Because she's not a virgin. She says that she thought she's both.
They don't come in her mouth, maybe?
Maybe. Like, they just pull out, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would do anything for him. Instead of coming in my mouth, he lets out a guttural roar and yanks me off the floor. Not yet, he barks as he carries me to his desk, kissing my mouth with fierce hunger.
Cute.
Oh, spicy.
He's growling.
Yeah.
He sends her on the desk and rips her blouse in half. Buttons go flying. He yanks her bra down and starts to bite her nipple while massaging her other breast. He tells her to lie down as he pulls her skirt up. He buries his face in her crotch and smells her.
God, you're stoked. He whispers, his fingers dig under the waistband of my panties, and he tears them off with violent eagerness. And he doesn't hesitate before drawing his broad tongue along the crevice with an audacious moan. You taste so fucking good. I swear he doesn't come up for air, and I have no idea how, after at least 5 minutes of him lapping hungrily at my cunt, he hasn't suffocated. The sounds I'm making are not anything like the sounds I've ever made before. There is no faking or forcing it with Emerson. Everything feels good. I'm gonna come, I pant, with my legs clenching around his ears. He hums even louder, sending delicate vibrations straight to my core. When he feels my thighs start to tremble, he slides a finger in and sucks eagerly on my clit.
Eagerly.
Thrusting one, then two, inside me. He curls them just right, and I'm reminded of that elusive G-spot that I didn't know even existed until yesterday. It all feels like too much and not enough at the same time. Like I can't take another second, but never ever want it to stop. I'm going to explode or die or scream or something. Then he picks up speed and growls hungrily between my legs. My body erupts in pleasure. With my fists in his hair, I come so hard, my hips lift from the desk, and I start to lose track of time.
Cute. He tells her she's so beautiful when she comes and grabs a condom and rolls it on. He tells her he needs to fuck her now, and she says she's ready.
The blunt end of his cock presses against my soaking center. And the blunt end? Jesus. My soaking center as he drapes each of my legs over his arms. And with one rapid jerk, he drags me onto his cock, impaling me quickly and sinking all the way in. The actual roar that escapes his lips is surreal.
Roar.
And his gaze locked on mine, he plunges inside me hard. Pausing once, he's seated all the way. Only to pull out and slam it again. Jesus. What's with the slamming? My toes curl and my fingers grip the desk. The pleasure of having him inside me is so intense I could cry. He starts to pick up speed, grunting with each thrust. And whatever spot he's hitting inside me feels like he's untapped some hidden code of bliss, because I'm already feeling the urge to come again. With my legs in his arms, he slams into me again and again. It's rapture, another onslaught of sensation, but this time different, less intense, but more consuming and so fucking good. I'm coming again, I cry out, and he keeps the hard speed while I lie there with my eyes closed, lost in absolute bliss. Pulling me upright, he kisses my mouth with a harsh bite. Open your eyes, Charlotte, he commands, and I do. Our eyes meet, he growls.
God, I fucking love you.
I latch my arms around his neck, watching his expression as he pounds into me. I memorize the look of pleasure on his face, the sounds he makes as he grunts and groans with each thrust. I do this to him. I remember myself. I drive him crazy and make him act out of control, and he knows it. With our gazes locked on each other, he slams into me even harder and faster, his groans turning into loud, bellowing cries of pleasure. My nails dig into his back as I cling to his body like a koala. When he comes, the room practically rattles with the sound coming out of his mouth. Okay,
he roars and growls. Hey, I know.
He's like, nah.
She lays there kissing him, holding his chest to hers after they finish, and thinks about how she just wants to fuck him and only him for the rest of her life. Emerson carries her up to his room and undresses her so she's standing in front of him nude. She climbs into his bed and he gets on top of her, also naked. They slowly kiss and touch and caress and have slow, sensual sex. She wakes up around midnight in his bed and tells him she needs to leave early so she can be back in the morning for work. He tells her that she can come in late and she says no, she wants to be bright and early. She has to wear his shirt since her blouse is broken. He gets dressed and drives her home. He tells her to wear something sexy and be ready to kneel in the morning. When she goes back to work the next day, bright and early, she's wearing the outfit from the first day that she worked.
The little
see-through black bra,
the saucy
skirt. And she says, I've probably never been more excited to go to work, but I guess I've never anticipated getting railed and having multiple orgasms at work before either.
Get it.
Get it.
She's 5 minutes early, so she's eager to start the day, and she sneaks into his office and is kneeling on the pillow waiting for him. He comes in and touches her chin, pulling her head to look at him, and he tells her that she's such a good girl. He leans down and gives her a soft kiss and tells her that from now on, if she's going to be out late, he needs her to stay home late to rest. And she says, yes, sir.
That's so hot.
When I'm on my knees, he is sir, not Emerson. He plays the part so well, only slightly different from who he is on a daily basis. I love this power he manifests. It makes me feel so something. I don't know how to put a word to this feeling. Like he is everything and nothing exists outside of this room. I have no other purpose, which really makes me feel at peace. No other purpose means no other worry, not a house payment or a struggling little sister, no estranged dad or broken family, and no ex-boyfriend. In this space, it's just me and him. My tasks are simple and fulfilling. Please, my sir. I don't even care anymore about what anyone would say or think about this arrangement. It makes me happy.
Please, my sir.
Please, my sir.
He tells her to stand up, and he begins to undress her and tells her that she's going to be working in just her bra and panties today.
Ooh, yeah. Saucy.
Yeah.
And then he tells her to get to work. She goes to her desk and tries to focus on the emails and tax documents, but she can feel Emerson watching her and she can't pay attention. She brings him his coffee and he strokes her leg.
Ooh.
She asks if there's anything else she can do for him, and he says, that's all for now. Before lunch, she hears him drop his pen on his desk, and he says, I'm having trouble getting anything done today, Charlotte. You're distracting me, and all I can think about is how beautiful that pussy between your legs is. And he tells her to come over and sit on his lap and read an email out loud to him.
Okay.
She feels his boner when she sits down, and he makes her read this dry, boring tax document while he begins to finger her. And every time she stops reading, he stops touching her. She comes while yelling, 4.5, section 6. He pulls her underwear off and thrusts into her hard. And he says, look what you do to me, Charlotte, sitting over there in those slutty panties. You do it on purpose, don't you? You want me to fuck you over my desk like a little slut. You are a dirty little slut, aren't you? This is what you get for tempting me. Tell me you're sorry, Charlotte.
He's the one that was like, work with your clothes off.
Exactly.
And a little slut.
Yeah, you tempting slut.
Now look at what you're doing.
This is all your fault. She says, I'm sorry, sir. And he comes.
Right.
He turns her around and kisses her passionately, and she realizes how much she liked the degradation and feels safe and cherished despite his dirty words.
Dirty, slutty girl.
Some time has passed, and Sophie and Charlotte are looking at a pinata Charlotte made for Sophie's birthday party. It's a mushroom, but Sophie says it looks like a dick with herpes. She gets a text from Emerson saying that he needs her to come in immediately, and she asks if something's wrong, and he said he just misses her and wants to discuss her working on the weekends. He asks if she can come in right now, but she says she's setting up for her sister sister's 15th birthday. This is the first time she's spoken about her personal life to him, and he asks what time the party is. She says it's at 3, but she'll come over after. Sophie's having a couple of friends stay over, and Charlotte's planning to sneak out. So her birthday party's at the rink that Charlotte worked at.
Oh, wow.
So Charlotte is in full party host mode, doing the, I don't know, Macarena.
On the rink.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, a girl.
She sees her sister looking genuinely happy with her friends and has to fight back happy tears. She started thinking about Emerson, and her mom asks what she's smiling about. So I guess she's just like,
that big dick.
Her mom says she looks like a girl who's getting thoroughly dicked down.
All right.
She's like, whoa.
Just then, her mom looks around and says, men like that don't come into the rink often. And Charlotte looks out to see Emerson just in. She ducks behind the counter for some reason. She like panics and she's like, you can't see me. I'm a normal person. And her mom sees him asking her aunt where Charlotte is. She like casually stands back up like she wasn't being a freak.
Oh, I'm right here.
I dropped my pen. And he sees her. He casually says hi, and her mom loudly clears her throat. She's like... He introduces himself, and his mom looks him up and down appreciatively and is like,
I'll leave you two alone.
She asks what he's doing there, and he says he wants to see her in her element. And she tells him that's fine, but here he has to call her Charlie, and there's no yes, sir, no, sir. And he says that's fine. She tells everyone that he's her boss, but not that he's Beau's dad.
Yeah, probably wouldn't either.
No. He asks to meet her little sister, so Charlotte waves Sophie over, and he hands her a birthday card. She opens it, and there's two tickets inside to the anime fest.
But and they're like the good, they're
VIP tickets.
Oh, that's actually so cute.
Yeah, very sweet.
Cheer Lily. Yeah, so he remembered her mentioning it on her first day of work and decided to surprise them. Her mom comes up and asks what is going on, and Sophie tells her that Emerson just got her the VIP tickets to the anime fest. Charlotte's happy because all this is amazing, but she's scared because she feels like she has to let him go eventually because they're still like secret because of Beau.
Oh, fuck Beau.
Yeah, but Emerson wants his little baby boy back.
He's a good daddy.
And a good daddy.
Yeah, very good daddy.
After the party, her mom asks Emerson if he's coming to a movie night at their house tonight, and he says he'd love to. They get in his car, and after everyone pulls away, he grabs her and kisses her. Her being Charlie, not her being her mom.
I was like, wait a second.
If I was Charlie, I'd be like, Mom, I'm 22 years old. Don't invite him back to our house. You're embarrassing me.
You're embarrassing me, Mom.
Stop it.
Also, is her mom just not like, wow, I'm really an older man.
I'd be like, where do I find him?
I know, I'd be like,
Tracy's?
I am his age. Yeah.
So he grabs her and it gets more intense. And then when she goes to grab his dick, he stops her. He says, if they start fucking in the car in the parking lot, they'll probably both go to jail.
True.
Yeah. And he tells her to behave. They leave and go to her house and they're watching Spirited Away, which like, great movie.
It is a great movie.
On our side?
You never seen Spirited Away?
No.
You should watch it.
Okay.
It's cute.
Watch it.
Okay. And the vibe in the house is happy and cozy. She's worrying about what Emerson will think, but looks over to see him laughing and talking with her mom. The movie starts, and as it goes on, they wind up cuddling on the couch while her mom is sleeping just a couple feet away, which is like risky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess her mom probably already knows that they're banging.
Definitely. She has to know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No man as hot as him is just going to like be hanging out with your daughter for fun.
Yeah.
Big Falcon.
When the movie's over, the girls run up to Sophie's room. So like Sophie and all her little friends run upstairs, and he leans over and kisses her forehead. He asks to see her room, and she tries to say no, but he insists. So they get to the casita where she lives, because she lives in the little pool house on the side.
That's right.
And he asks why she's so nervous, and she's like, I'm not. And he asks if she thinks his age bothered her mom, and she's like, nah, probably not. I think her mom's just like a cool mom.
Yeah, I think so too.
And she's like an adult, so.
Yeah.
He finds a picture of her as a teenager and another of her family at Disneyland, and he asks who's in the photo, pointing at Sophie. And we find out that Sophie is trans, and that's why their dad left.
And that's why Charlie also wanted to make sure that the club was LGBTQ friendly. Nice. She's not fucking around. She's like, no one's hurting my little sister.
Yeah.
Aww, that is so sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's a good big sister.
She says that's why she's so protective, and he tells her that she's amazing. And she tries to be like, no, it's no big deal, but he won't let her, and he kisses her and tells her she's perfect. He says, I'm going to make you forget every bad thing you've ever said about yourself, and if I catch you saying anything self-deprecating, you'll be punished. Understand? She says, yes, sir. And he he whisks her up, lays her on the bed, settling on top of her. He starts grinding into her. Her thoughts leave her body. He tells her to tell him what she wants, but she doesn't know how to dirty talk. And she freezes and says, I want to watch you, but can't finish. He asks, watch me do what? But she can't answer. He says, Charlotte, listen to me. You are a smart, beautiful, confident woman. You don't need to tell me what you want. I want to hear it from you. You deserve pleasure just as much as I do. And trust me, I want nothing more than to hear you utter the dirtiest words. And then I want to do whatever it is you say. So say it.
Say it with your chest.
She tells him that she wants to watch him touch himself. He says, try again. Not dirty enough. She says, stroke your cock for me. And he's like, not dirty enough. Which, like, I thought that
I thought it was pretty dirty. But
yeah.
Stroke your cock.
She says, I want to watch you fuck your fist until you come all over my chest.
Fuck your fist.
So yeah.
And he says, fuck, that was hot. And they get undressed.
I don't know
why. That's what I did it for him is fuck your fist.
Fuck your fist.
I don't know why it's so funny.
It sounds like an insult.
No. Yeah.
Fuck your fist.
Fuck your fist.
Pulling down his jeans, he finally pulls out his cock, and I can't tear my eyes away. I mean, I've never really admired a dick before, but something about Emerson's is perfect. Made only more perfect by the way his large hand wraps around it, sliding from the base to the head and squeezing the tip. With his hungry eyes on me, he licks his palm, getting his hand nice and wet before stroking himself again. I'm squirming against my sheets with need as I watch him. I shift my hips and bite my lip. Do that again, I whisper. I feel so dirty. I can't believe I asked that. And I can't believe he's doing it. But since that moment in the hallway, I've gotten a taste of liberation, and it's so good. This feeling of freedom to be sexual and feel good and not bad about that is so addicting. I don't know if I'll ever feel this way with anyone other than Emerson, so I'm going to savor it for as long as I can. His chest heaves as he moves his hand, keeping his eyes on me as he jacks himself slowly. Liquid heat pulls in my belly, and I struggle not to rub my thighs together, no matter how much I want to. Faster, I whisper in a breathy plea. He picks up his pace and I watch his mouth fall open as he does, his eyes hooded with lust. Touch yourself, he barks. I'm taking my hand and guiding it to my open legs. When my fingers graze over my clit, the desire grows stronger. He watches my fingers as I slide them through my wet folds. And circle back to my clit. He's practically hypnotized by the movement. Fuck yourself, he says.
When go fuck yourself.
The way I said it, I was like, fuck yourself. And his fist jerks faster as I sink two fingers deep inside me, regrown in unison. Then I begin to pump and sink with him. I want to come all over you, Charlotte. Do it.
I reply. I didn't do it.
You won't. I bet. I'm dragging my pleasure out, and I know once I'm ready, I could easily come right along with him. His free hand drags down my hip to clutch my thigh tightly in his grip, and I can tell he's forcing himself not to come. And more than anything, I want to watch his face when he does let go and unloads all of that pleasure onto me. Do it, Emerson, I cry out. Come all over me. Right on cue, he lets out a heavy grunt, dragging the tip of his cock along my belly as warm jets of cum paint my skin. His expression is perfect, half agony and half euphoria.
Agony? Does it hurt them?
So when they're like, a few hard circles around my clit, and I come undone right along with him. Biting my bottom lip, I tilt my head back and let the sensation take me away.
I just can't get over that. Fuck yourself.
Fuck your fist.
Fuck your fist. He goes to the bathroom and gets a washcloth to clean her off. He gets into her bed and turns off the lamp, and she realizes that he's staying over, which, like, presumptuous.
I'd be like,
he's all right.
We're sleeping now.
Sleepover. They're cuddling in the moonlight, and she asks what he's thinking about, and he says, I was thinking that I don't deserve you.
Why?
I don't know. So we're back to Emerson's POV. It's been about a week, and they pull up to the club in the morning, and he tells her to behave herself tonight. It's the first club event. It's been a mess at work this week. Too much actual work means I can't spend my days fucking my secretary over my desk like I want to. In fact, we've both been so swamped, we hardly even get to touch each other until after 5, when I can usually manage a quick fuck upstairs while the phone rings off the hook in the office.
Some of these are just so funny to me.
Yeah.
He's like, oh my god, I can't fuck until after 5, but sometimes I get a quick one in.
Like, that's plenty.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Sir, are you an addict?
Like, you don't need to fire for 20 hours.
40 hours a week.
Oh, true.
It's like a normal person's life. You fuck after work. He's like, only one of us, you fuck after work.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Fuck your bitch.
He's determined to teach Charlotte more about being a sub and to get her to realize how great she is after being torn on by other men. It's before the opening and everything's chaos. Everyone's scrambling around and they run into Garrett, who starts flirting with Charlotte, and Emerson immediately gets pissed off. He says something about putting her up for an auction tonight, and Charlotte says that nobody would bid on her, and Emerson gets really upset that she said this.
He said, don't say anything bad about yourself.
Let's talk about this.
Then stop.
I will punish you. He puts everyone to work and slowly starts to get everything set up and running and under control. I'm strangely aggravated with her for some reason. Okay, not with her, but with that one comment this morning that's been grating on my nerves all day. How the fuck can such a brilliant, beautiful girl think so badly of herself? That piece of shit father of hers never wanted to treat her right, so now she can't seem to wrap her head around the idea that she's worthy of anything. I wish I could face that fucker right now. I'd like to knock his ass out for what he did to Charlotte and Sophie.
You should probably talk to your son too.
Yeah,
like, he's a douchebag.
Well, he's not like the best dad.
Yeah.
Fully fucked.
He's a terrible dad, but also Bo talked down to her a lot too. That didn't help. He's like, I'll make up for my son.
So they have seven women up for auction, and the auction is just for a date. So an hour of their time, whatever they choose to do with their 1 hour is on them.
Okay.
But that's what the people are bidding on. It's like an hour of their time.
Doesn't have to be sexual.
Okay.
It's like, no. If though, it's the woman's, if they want to be sexual, fine. But if they don't, then they don't have to.
Okay. Garrett mentions to Emerson again about having Charlotte auctioned. And when Emerson says, fuck no, Garrett asks him if he's starting to get attached to her. So Emerson decides to allow it, but only so that she can see how desirable she is. So, like, maybe if she gets really high bid, she'll be like, I am hot. Oh my God. You guys, stop. There's going to be a super rich dude there bidding. So this is going to cost him big if he wants to have the biggest bid. So he asks, gosh, I forget what the guy's name is. We find out, but he's like, is so-and-so going to be there? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, fuck, I'm going to have to spend a lot of money, because he's planning on getting the highest bid for Charlotte.
Okay.
Yeah. He doesn't want anybody else. He wants people to bid on her, but he wants to be the winner of bidding.
Yeah.
But this other dude is like millionaire money.
Isn't he too though?
Yeah.
But he just is like, fuck, I don't want to have to spend that much money.
Yeah. Because he gets free time.
Fair.
Yeah.
He pulls her aside to a private room and tells her she's going to be in the auction tonight. And he says it's only an hour of her time, and she's hesitant, but starts rubbing up on him and his dick's getting hard. She tells him she got her test results back and they're negative, so she can join the club now. He pictures raw dogging her and immediately flips her onto her stomach, rips her skirt up, and shoves his pants down and pulls his dick out. He slaps her ass and bends down and bites her little butt cheek.
The little apple. I should make you wait, I growl, standing up and pulling her hips back, lining up the head of my dick with her wet pussy lips. She groans loudly into the satin sheets, but I want you leaking my cum in your panties while you're on stage. I'd be like, I don't really want that. I plunge myself inside her, and it's like heaven. Her moans and the sight of her soft hips in my hands is enough to drive me mad, but it's the tight heat of her cunt that makes me crazy. Charlotte was made for me. This pussy was molded for my cock, swallowing me up so eagerly like it's putting a fucking spell on me, making me never want another pussy again, which I don't.
Which I know. I don't.
I don't. Only yours, Charlotte. Only your pussy.
Thank you.
Harder, she gasps, pushing backwards, her delicate fingers grasping the black satin tightly in her grip. I give her what she wants, slamming into her harder and harder, wondering if I could be hurting her, but she doesn't look like she's in any pain. The expression on her face looks more like ecstasy. I wish I was fucking you every minute of my day. You know that? Yes. I love fucking you, Charlotte. You take my cock so well. I love it, she cries. I want your pussy to be sore when you're up there. I want you thinking about this. Faster, Emerson. I'm going to come. She moans in a high-pitched plea. God, I love that she asks for what she wants during sex now. I pull her hips up and slam into them, grunting with each lightning-fast stroke. Her beautiful cunt squeezes my shaft tightly as she comes. Holding her hips in my hands, I let her body relax from orgasm as I start to unload inside her, watching her intently, and I'm imagining her body soaking up everything I'm giving her. Beautiful cunt.
Gross. It's like a sponge.
Like a little sponge. soak it up.
So after they're done, he realizes that if everyone did just hear what they were doing, they've been gone long enough for people to realize that they were probably fucking. Because people don't, like, know that they're fucking. That. They, like,
see, know. Yeah, you don't know, but you know.
You know. They fix their clothes and leave the room. He thinks that maybe it'd be best for some rich guy to win time with her and sweep her off her feet because they ultimately can't be together. But he knows that he would never allow it.
You know. Be together. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So we're back to Charlotte's POV. She's backstage getting ready for the auction with the other girls when she sees Madame Kink, and they greet each other, and she introduces herself as Eden. So she's like, it's not actually Madame Kink.
So she's like, I have a real name. I got a real name.
It's Eden. She starts to help Charlotte get more sexy for the auction and takes off her clothes, leaving her in a lacy bra and panty set. She asks how long Charlotte and Emerson have been together, and Charlotte's like, what are you talking about? But Eden tells her that she can literally see the bite mark on her ass cheek. She asks Eden if she thinks Emerson's too old for her, and Eden says no, that she's never seen him treat anyone the way he treats Charlotte. She asks Eden if she's gonna sleep with her highest bidder tonight, and Eden is like, yeah.
Obviously, they call me Madame King for a reason. I love her. I know. I'm surprised she doesn't have her on the book.
Maybe she's like the female main character of one of the next ones.
I hope so. She's really nice.
Yeah.
Is she?
Yeah.
She sounds sweet.
The girls start going out on stage one by one to be auctioned, and most of the girls are going for over $5,000. Eden goes for $50,000.
Damn.
Hell yeah. Just for an hour of her time.
Yeah. She's that good.
She fucks. So it's Charlotte's turn. She walks out and she notices the man she saw playing poker the first night at the club, who had a woman kneeling next to him while he petted her, and he makes her uncomfortable. The guy that gives her, like, the bad vibes.
Is he the fucking rich one?
Yep.
Damn it.
That's the one we gotta watch out for.
And she's like, I know him from somewhere.
But where?
She sees Emerson as well, and Emerson looks tense. The bidding starts at $10,000 from the man.
Ew.
Emerson bids $11,000, so the other man bids $15,000. So then Emerson bids $20,000, and then the other man bids $50,000, and then there's a going once, going twice, and then Emerson bids $75,000.
Holy shit.
And she's sold.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Fuck that creepy guy.
Emerson walks right up on stage, puts her over his shoulder, and carries her away.
And everyone sees her little bin butt cheek. her little booty cheek.
He takes her back to the private room that they just fucked in, puts her on the bed, and says he paid for an hour of her time, and he's here to collect.
Which, like, kind of rude, because the lady's supposed to pick how the hour goes.
Yeah, but she's like, no, I just want to talk.
She's like, wait, I really want to get to know you.
He seems unhinged. Like, she's like, he seems like something's going on with him.
Yeah.
He asks what she put on the list for punishment, like, between 0 and 5.
Okay.
And she asks why she's being punished, but he ties her legs, splayed open to the bed, and he says she's being punished for saying nobody would bid on her that morning. He tells her to lay down in a cold voice, and she does. She's scared, but she trusts him. He takes off her bra and ties her wrists together, and he tells her that the safe word is mercy.
Ooh.
He's going 0 to 100. Real fast.
Yeah, I feel like he's all, like, hyped up.
Yeah,
from, like, having to do that.
He asks her why she's being punished tonight, and she says, because I cost you $75,000. He says no, and he puts a blindfold around her eyes. He tells her that she was worth the $75,000, and that he was hoping she would realize that she was worth the $75,000. He says he's not into impact play, but there's other ways he's gonna teach her a lesson. He tells her that he's memorized every single thing she wrote on the list. He asks her again if she thinks he spent too much money on her, and she says yes. And he puts nipple clamps on her and asks if she understands why he's so angry, and she's like, no, I have no idea.
She's like, can you, why do you care?
He tears her thong off her body and starts to touch her between her legs. He tells her that he doesn't appreciate anybody who talks badly about something that's his, and asks if she thinks he has bad taste, and begins to finger her. She says no, and he asks if she thinks he's stupid for paying that much for her, and she says no. He asks if she's worth $75,000, and she says no. And he immediately removes all his fingers and isn't touching her at all. He goes to grab something out of the drawers, and she hears him lighting a match, and then she hears his belt unbuckling.
He tells her he feels like he's going to enjoy punishing her for talking so badly about herself and begins to kiss her passionately, and suddenly she feels a burning pain on her chest. He tells her not to make him gag her, and she knows that he dripped candle wax on her.
Oh.
He asks if she needs the safe word, and she says no, so he calls her a good girl and tells her that she's perfect and that he hates to hurt her, which, like,
don't.
Yeah,
stop.
And asks if she can feel what it's doing to him and grinds his hard penis into her leg. He asks if she wants him to fuck her, and she says yes. He tells her to tell him how beautiful she thinks she is, and she starts to get emotional and is holding back tears. She says that she can't, and then she feels the wax drip on her chest again, and he asks why she thinks another man was bidding so much on her if she wasn't beautiful, and she says she doesn't know. He asks if she thinks the other women are better looking than her, and she says yes, and more wax drips on her chest, and he tells her she's wrong. He asks why she can't just admit how wonderful she is, and she said because she's not, and she's sobbing. She tells him how she doesn't deserve him and that she's not good enough, and he's gonna leave her just like everybody else. She's hysterically crying and the blindfold is taken off. He says, Jesus Christ, Charlotte, look at me. Making eye contact with her, he says, you're wrong, and makes her say that she's wrong. He kisses her and releases the restraints, and she wraps her legs around him. He takes the nipple clamps off and she asks him to fuck her. He immediately thrusts into her and tells her that she drives him crazy. He tells her that he's addicted to her and that she was made for him.
Like, that's intense.
Yeah,
that was fair. She's like fucking sobbing.
Yeah, I don't know if
I'm glad I stopped.
I know,
I'm glad he stopped too. And then she's like, all right, fuck me. Fuck me.
Resting his forehead against mine, he drives me to ecstasy, pounding his body into mine as if he's trying to make me believe what he's telling me. When I come, my nails dig into his back, holding him as closely as I can get him. Matching my intensity, he growls into my ear as he slowly thrusts and comes inside me. Gathering me up into his arms, he pulls out and lies on the mattress. I rest on his chest and let the moment wash over me.
I do think that was like a sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's like a good fuck.
Yeah. He cleans the wax off her with a wet washcloth and kisses her softly and tells her that he wishes she could see what he sees in her. Emerson asks Charlotte if he can take her back to his house so they can continue the aftercare. She feels exhausted and raw but renewed, and he says, let's go home. She's thinking about how Emerson has been calling her his and saying mine, and then she starts getting nervous because they both agree that nobody could find out. When they get to his house, he takes her upstairs, he strips her and kisses the spot where he bit her. He starts the shower for her and tells her to get in, and then follows her in. She leans against him and he washes her with soap and washes her hair and rinses it out, and she starts to cry because of how afraid she is to lose him. He kneels down and starts to wash her feet, and he says that just because he's the dominant one doesn't mean he can't take care of her, and that it's a two-way street. When he's done, she forces him to allow her to wash his hair and then his body. She drops to her knees like he did before, and she looks up at him while he strokes her hair. She asks how long it's been since somebody took care of him, and he says a very long time. She says she wants to take care of him, wink wink, and says she wants to make him so dependent on her that he'll never be able to leave her, and she wraps her lips around him.
He hums low and gravelly as I wrap my lips around him. I play with the head of his cock first, licking into the slit and letting my teeth graze the underside. His hips jolt forward and I tease him a bit more before letting him slide in deeper. Relaxing my throat, I pull him in farther and farther each time. Wrapping my hand around the base, I stroke in rhythm with my mouth, moving faster and tighter, waiting for his groans or words of praise. I'm dying to hear his pleasure. Finally, he lets out a tight, oh fuck, Charlotte. For that, he gets a reward, and I suck even harder, giving his cock head a little more attention. He shudders and squeezes a handful of my hair in his grasp. Keep doing that. So I do, moving from the base to the head, twisting and squeezing and practically swimming in the grunts and groans of pleasure my actions are eliciting. I reach my other hand between his legs and gently knead his sack.
Knead his sack.
We get biscuits. Meow. Watching his expression change as I do, his free hand slams against the wall to hold him upright and his eyes close. That's my girl, he groans, and I light up inside. My movements pick up speed and I know what's coming. When his mouth falls open and his head falls back, I'm gonna come, baby. And maybe that was meant to be a warning, but when I don't move or take my mouth away, he seems to pick up the hint. Are you gonna swallow me down? Are you gonna swallow me down, Charlotte? Are you gonna take my cum like the dirty girl you are? My dirty girl. His voice is strained and he barely gets the last word out before I feel the salty jets hit my tongue. The salty jets? I didn't expect to be grossed out by it, but the minute I taste him, I realize this is him.
Yep.
What?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, it's coming out of his penis. This is my Emerson and I want it all. I love everything about him. So as he fills the back of my throat, I eagerly swallow before pulling my mouth off. Strings of cum hang from his cock to my lips. So he moves his body, letting the water wash it all away. Then I'm lifted abruptly from my knees and pressed against the wall. His hand is under my jaw, pressing my face upward to see his. That was so fucking hot, he says, kissing me. Salty jets. Strings of cum.
It just reminds me of one string of cum, like shoestrings on a dog.
Shoestrings on a dog.
Coming out of your jowls.
He tells her that he wants to keep her forever and then buries his face in her neck and says, God, I wish I could. And she's devastated.
Yeah, that's a mean thing to...
Wait. He says, God, I wish I could?
Okay. Yeah. So he's like, I wish I could keep you, but like...
Okay.
Sorry.
And she's like, damn.
She's like, I just swallowed your jizz. And you say that?
Your salty jizz mean for me.
It's all you.
This is him.
We're in Emerson's POV. He's back at the club with Garrett, and Garrett tells him that he Googled Charlotte and found her Instagram page, and there are pictures of her and Beau on it.
Psychology.
Yikes.
He asks why Emerson didn't tell him, and he tells Garrett that nobody was supposed to know. Garrett tells him that he's not going to tell anybody that Charlotte's Beau's ex. He tells Garrett the story of how it all started, and Garrett tells him that he can tell how much Emerson cares about Charlotte. Garrett tells him that he's known for a long time, and he's seen him with a lot of women, but this one's different. Emerson says that he knows that, and there's nothing he can do about it because he doesn't want to lose his son forever. And Garrett tells him that Beau's an adult, and that he should just get over it if it makes Emerson this happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you be able to get over it?
Probably not.
Like, get over it, Beau.
You stupid dick.
But like, I would not be okay with it.
Yeah, no.
No.
Like, if my mom...
Ew!
Forget it.
If your ex started dating your mom.
Yeah.
And then you're just supposed to be like, good job.
I just wouldn't have a mom anymore. I'd be like, have fun, guys. Bye.
But yeah.
Don't ever talk to me again.
Same dick.
Yay. Some time has passed, and Charlotte and Sophie just got back from the anime convention. Emerson asks her how it was, and Charlotte says it was amazing, and there's tension between them about the unspoken argument they had about their future and Beau. He asks her if she would ever want kids, and she says she doesn't know. She asks him the same question, and he tells her that he had a vasectomy years ago, and he can sense her disappointment. He tells her it's probably a good thing because he's not exactly the best father. Like,
true.
And she's telling him he is, and he says, yes, so good that I'm fucking his ex-girlfriend. At least he's self-aware.
Yeah, I mean,
he is. He just keeps doing it, though.
Yeah, there's no other way he could move that picture.
No, that. He immediately apologizes to her because she's like,
I know, I would have been like, oh,
you know,
Charlotte asks Emerson why they're in such a big fight, and Emerson tells him that Beau is disgusted by him because of the club. She tells him that Beau's in the wrong for judging him like that, and that the sooner they tell him about their relationship, the sooner he'll get over it.
Probably not.
No, I think that...
He's like, I'm just glad you told me sooner rather than later.
Like, I feel like that's just gonna ruin Emerson's relationship with him even more.
Yeah.
And Emerson says that he just can't tell Beau. She tells him that them sleeping together doesn't make him a bad father, and Beau finding out won't change the fact they're already sleeping together. She tells him that he's good to a fault because he's willing to sacrifice his own happiness to spare his son's feelings. She says Beau will get over it, but she doesn't know if she ever will. He tells her that she's only 21. Of course she'll get over it, and that he's 40. There's no future with him. Which, he's acting like he's like on death story.
Yeah. 40, there's no future for me.
I am 80 years old.
She says that she doesn't care, and she begs him to tell her that he wants her. He says, of course I want you, and she desperately kisses him. He kisses her back, even though he knows that he shouldn't. He picks her up, and she wraps her legs around him, and she tells him that she needs him, and they rapidly undress each other. He begins to eat her out, and he flips them so that he's laying down on the couch, and he says, I want you on my face.
Forward.
He pulls her up to his face and slides his tongue inside of her while she grinds on his face. She comes clenching her thighs around his head, and he laps up every drop of her like it's the last time.
Laps
it up.
Yeah, like a little dog.
Yuck. Okay, imagine your partner doing that dirty.
I wouldn't like it. Once her muscles relax and she slumps over, I pick her up again. My cock is aching for her, shifting into a sitting position on the couch. I guide her soaking core to my... Oh,
that's a new one. That is a new one.
Soaking core.
Soaking core.
Bring that soaking core to me.
Ew.
Watching her face as she slides down over me. Fuck, Charlotte, I groan, grasping her hair at the scalp and dragging her lips to mine. She hums with our kiss, tasting herself on my tongue. Ride me. With her haunting brown eyes focused on mine, she holds me by the back of the neck and bounces herself on my cock in hard, deep thrust. She's fucking me the way I fuck her. Watching her, I realize I love her. If this isn't what love feels like, then it must not exist. I think you're just horny. It doesn't mean I can give Charlotte everything she wants, everything I want. It doesn't make my choice any easier, but I feel freer being able to admit that to myself. After 20 years of waiting, this is the one that has finally shattered the belief that I would never find this, never find love, but I have, because of her. And I want to tell her so badly right now, but I can't. I refuse to make any more promises to this girl that I can't fulfill. If I tell her I love her, it will only make her hope even more, and I'm crushing her already as it is. Grabbing her hips tightly, I slam her down even harder, and she hangs her head back, filling the room with those delicious sounding moans of ecstasy. I want to come inside you. I want you to take it, I groan. Give it to me.
Give me now.
It only takes two more bounces on my cock before I'm grunting out my release, my cock pumping into her. She hangs from my arms, spent and beautiful. So I pull her body to my mouth, kissing the spot where her heart pumps in her chest. She's panting for air more than usual, her heart pounding from exertion. There's a sheen of sweat across her back. Was I a good girl? She whispers with her mouth inches from mine. A smile creeps across my face as I gather her into my arms. You're always a good girl.
Oh, so cute. Also, are haunting brown eyes sexy? Because that doesn't sound very sexy to me.
They're like gag.
They're haunting.
She looks so tired as fuck.
Like, what?
He's like, I see fear in her.
She's seeing something.
They are dark.
We're back to Charlotte's POV. She's at work Monday morning and she's kneeling in his office. He walks in and strokes her head and says, good morning. I didn't say it like that. But like, he sits at his desk and tells her to crawl to him. So she does. And she kneels next to his chair and he strokes her cheek. He tells her that he doesn't want to work today. He just wants to play. He tells her to get on the desk and she does. And he spreads her legs and puts himself in between them. He pulls down her panties and brings them to his nose and inhales.
Gross. Okay.
He pulls out the remote control vibrator and tells her to open her mouth and suck it. She does. He pulls her hips to the edge of his desk and works it into her body. He pulls out the little remote and turns it on and he says he wants to see how long it'll take for her to come. He begins to caress her and touches her breasts and is pinching her nipples. And he tells her that he can tell she's getting close. Just as she's about to finish, he turns it off.
Fuckery. Jesus.
Emerson tells her that this isn't punishment, but this is going to be happening all day, and he'll reward her for being a good girl.
So just edging her all day.
All day.
8 hours.
No reason.
He says he's going to keep her panties in his desk and to not make a mess on her chair. He randomly teases her throughout the day while she's working. So he'll just randomly, like, turn it on and be like,
buzz, buzz. Still here, bitch.
At lunchtime, he tells her that he wants to walk to the deli together, and she says, yes, sir. He tortures her in the deli, even though it was crowded, and she says while she was ordering a turkey sub, Emerson was behind her, pressing his hard cock into her back while the vibrator nearly brought her to orgasm.
He just has a fucking fat boner and pummel it.
And she's like,
Jesus, please.
They're walking back and he promises her a foot rub tonight. She thinks to herself that they could make this work and be secret lovers forever. When they return to his house, Bo is out front waiting for them. Charlie notices that Bo is looking really good and really put together. He says that he was working in the area and he saw her car and thought he would come over and hang out with her. That's such a weird thing.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna go hang out with my ex-girlfriend at my dad's house.
Who I haven't talked to in like 6 months.
Yeah.
Because I hate him.
What the fuck?
Emerson opens the door and lets him inside. Bo happily tells them that he got a new job and Emerson said he's gonna go grab them some drinks to celebrate and that they should go sit in the front room. He'll meet them out there. Charlotte says, yes, sir, out of habit, and they both freeze and try and play it off like it was like a normal thing.
But she's like, I said yes, sir, because he's my boss. It's not weird. Well, I, all the time. I've never said that to my boss ever.
No.
Bo laughs about it, so he's not catching on. Idiot. Emerson returns with beers. Charlie sits down in a chair opposite Emerson, and the minute she does, she remembers she has the vibrator inside of her still. Emerson and Bo seem to be working things out, and for the next 30 minutes, she has to just sit there with the vibrator inside of her as Bo is telling his dad about his new apprenticeship at a big landscaper in the area, and he turns to ask Charlotte if she likes working for his dad, and she says, yeah, it's a good job. He says, good, and that next time he's working in this part of town, he'd like for them all to do lunch or something. So it seems like he's kind of warming up to his dad a little bit.
Surprise, they're fucking.
He stands up to leave and goes to grab his keys at the entryway table, but the keys are right next to the remote control. She's hoping that he won't notice it, and he grabs the keys, but on accident, he also grabs the remote. As he grabs it, he accidentally hits a button that turns it on to the most intense setting.
Oh my god!
Yeah. She screams, and Bo's looking at her like she's a psycho, and he asks her what's wrong, because she's like, she's hoping that this is the moment that Emerson will tell Bo exactly what's going on between the two of them. Bo looks from the remote to Charlotte clamping her legs together and says, I fucking knew it.
Yeah.
Good way to find out.
Oh my god. Emerson says it's nothing.
Liar.
And she's like, yeah, it's nothing. She storms out and she's pissed and heartbroken because he was like, it's nothing.
Like, she's nothing. The relationship is nothing.
She means nothing to me.
She is nobody. No one. Just another whore. Just another hole for me to put my dick in. Soaking core.
Ew. Ew. She can hear them arguing in the other room as she goes to grab her things so she can leave when she feels a hand around her arm. She turns around and it's Bo. He demands to know if his dad touched her, and she tries to leave again as she's crying. Emerson asks where she's going, and she doesn't reply. He says, don't go, and instead of saying yes, sir, she says, no.
Get it.
The guys begin to argue again, and she uses that as her opportunity to sneak out, and she speeds home and flops into her bed to cry. And we fast forward by 8 days, 4 hours, and 32 minutes. Not that she's counting.
No.
She's not. And she's still in bed.
Oh.
She's, like, wildly depressed.
I feel like I would be, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just eats and cries. Sophie, I am... Sophie asks her to get out because it's Taco Tuesday, and she never says no to her sister, so she's like, fine. But after she takes her shower, because I don't think she's showered yet.
I don't think so, either.
She's a dirty girl.
Stinky, stinky.
They go out to eat, and she says, even though it doesn't solve all her problems, it's hard to be unhappy in a Mexican restaurant.
True.
In the middle of their meal, Charlotte notices two boys pointing at Sophie and laughing. Sophie tells Charlotte to just ignore them. So it's like two boys from her school.
Fuck them.
Yeah. Charlotte tells her that she wishes she had an ounce of her confidence, and Sophie tells her that she learned about confidence from her.
Oh,
sweet. Sophie tells her that she thinks Bo's the reason that her confidence tanked the way it did. And she also tells Charlie that she knows that Emerson is Bo's father and that she knows it's the happiest she's ever been. Later that night, she's in bed looking at 8 texts from Emerson that she hasn't responded to. They say, can we talk? I just want to apologize. I made a mistake. I miss you. I understand you need time. I can wait. My front door is always open. Bo knows everything now. He's mad, but we can work that out. I'm not choosing him over you. I'm sorry for ever implying that I would. Please, Charlie. As she's reading them, another text pops up, and it's from Garrett telling her that there was a photographer at opening night, and there's pictures that won't be published online, but there's one of them, like, of Charlotte and Emerson, that she would want to see, and she opens it, and it's the two of them on the dance floor. She's looking away, and Emerson is focused on her face, adoringly.
Yeah, it seems like a very sweet picture.
Also,
yeah.
Emerson being like, fuck my kid.
Yeah,
I am not a father anymore.
No.
I'm just a daddy.
I'm not a father, I'm a daddy. She tosses her phone down and thinks about how she's a desperate girl that craves attention and praise, and that she'll do anything for it. Now we're in Emerson's POV, and 2 more weeks have passed. Emerson's working and staring at Charlotte's empty desk. Him and Bo are back to not speaking, and he's been blowing up both of their phones, but neither of them are responding. He's thinking about how badly he wants both of them in his life, and he never wants another sub or a girlfriend if he can't have Charlotte. There's a knock on the door, and he goes to answer it. It's Bo. He's there to get answers about how things started between his dad and Charlotte, so Emerson invites him inside. When they're sitting down, Bo asks if they slept together, and Emerson says yes, but it just started recently.
Oh, it did.
Fucking liar.
He asks Emerson if he hurt her, and Emerson says, no, I would never hurt her. And then Bo asks if he took her to the Salacious Players Club, and he says, yes, he did. Bo accuses his dad of corrupting Charlotte, and he tells his son that Charlotte's a grown woman who makes her own decisions, and he spent the last few months watching her grow and
find herself. He tells Bo that he'll stop pursuing her if Bo wants him to stop. I feel like he's playing both sides.
Yeah. It really is. He's telling both of them, like, what they want to hear.
Uh-huh. And Bo's like, yes, I want you to stop.
But he's still not even going to talk to his dad. So what fucking point?
No. Bo asks Emerson if he loves her, and he hesitates to answer, but he says, yes, very much so. And Bo's face is, like, disgusted. He says he needs to leave, and Emerson begs him to stay and asks him to please not be mad at him anymore.
Like, I'm sorry, I was fucking your girlfriend. Can we get over that?
Please.
Bo says he needs time to figure all of this out, and Emerson tells him that he'll do whatever he wants and to come back anytime. Emerson spends the rest of the day sitting at his desk staring at nothing, and he opens his desk drawer to see Charlotte's panties and the remote. He tosses the panties into the trash can and throws the remote hard against the wall, and it just shatters. He grabs his car keys and decides he needs to go fuck away how much he misses her. Like, he's like, I'm going to the club and I'm gonna go fuck something.
Makes sense. I miss you so much, I want to fuck someone else.
I feel like men just use their dicks.
Though. Yeah.
Yes,
huh? I only fucked you because I missed you.
Well, it's all in your fault.
We should have left.
We're in Charlotte's POV. She just got done with a shift at the skating rink, so she's back to working at the skating rink when a mysterious man walks through the door. As he gets closer, she realizes it's Bo.
Ew. Go away, Bo.
God.
He's everywhere.
He says he's sorry for bothering her at work, but asks her to take a break to talk to him. He says he's, like, he's not there because he's mad. She says, okay, and they go to the parking lot to talk. He opens his truck bed and they sit on the tailgate, just like old times. They're sitting there in silence when he finally says, my dad, Charlie.
Valid.
Valid, but also like, yeah, your dad.
Yeah, your dad. Yeah.
And I've seen him, he's hot.
She gets up to walk away and he says, I'm sorry, please come back. He just wants to hear her side of the story and tells her that he just came back from his dad's house. He just wants to make sure that his dad didn't force anything on her. She says, no, he didn't, and that she was happy to go to the club with him. He says, this isn't like her, and she starts to get angry. He asks if she was truly happy with his dad, and she says, yes, but that he was never going to commit to her without Bo's blessing. Bo can't believe that they ever thought that he would be okay with it.
I mean, yeah, true.
Yeah. Charlotte tells him that it has nothing to do with him. She tells him that she's much happier with his dad than she ever was with him. And that when her dad was literally treating her like property, she still felt more respected than when she was with Bo. She also says that Emerson never cheated on her like he did.
True.
And he's like, wow, you're gonna bring this up again?
Again?
Just
because I fucked another girl
in our apartment.
He tells her that his dad told him that he loves her, and she's shocked, but tells him that it doesn't matter anymore and leaves him in the parking lot by himself.
Yeah, get fucked, Bo.
When she gets home that evening, she's crawling out of her skin and chugs half a bottle of wine, and she's scrolling through Instagram stories. She sees a selfie of Eden in a dimly lit room and recognizes it as one of the rooms at the club. Suddenly, she changes into a sleek black dress with a plunging neckline and a hem above her knees and calls an Uber to take her to the club.
And she's like, hey, I can still go here. I got tested negative. I have a membership.
She's like, a mail grab, man.
No, he's probably fucking.
She gets dropped off and walks to the front door. She's greeted by name by the door girl and is immediately let in. The bouncer tells her to have fun. As she walks in, she notices that it's busier than she's ever seen it, and she goes up to the bar where she sees Eden. Eden says she's glad to see her there and orders her a drink. Everyone recognizes her as Emerson's secretary and is saying hi to her. Charlotte and Eden are talking, and she also notices the man that's giving her the bad vibes staring at her. She confesses to Eden that she recognizes her from the Madame Kink blog, and Eden is surprised that anybody actually reads it, so she orders Charlotte another drink. As she's drinking it, Charlotte says she doesn't know why she came here, and Eden says to show him what he's missing. She then asks Charlotte if she's ever been with a woman before. Charlotte chokes on her drink, and Eden says, that's what I thought. She asks if she promises to take it slow, would she like to make Emerson go crazy with jealousy, and Charlotte says, definitely.
Ooh,
right.
Yeah,
he's like, I got your bad girl, let's go.
Let me go eat your pussy.
We're at Emerson's POV. He's at the club, but he's hiding in his office. He couldn't even bring himself to look at another woman. He's mindlessly watching the cameras drinking bourbon. Maggie walks in and sees him and tells him this is the first time she's ever seen him look so pathetic. She tells him that Charlotte's here and has just rented room 12 with Eden. He storms out of his office and directly towards room 12. He's walking down the foyer hall until he reaches the throne room window where he sees Charlotte inside, smiling and laughing with Eden. Eden brushes her hair off of her shoulder and places a gentle kiss there. Emerson is torn between wanting to run in and stop it and wanting to sit and watch. Charlotte is caressing Eden and begins to touch her breasts. Eden pulls Charlotte's dress down, revealing her, and begins to touch her breasts. He's admiring how confident and in control Charlotte seems, and the crowd is beginning to gather outside the window. Charlotte guides Eden's mouth to her breast and begins looking directly to the window. The women begin to make out, and Emerson can't breathe. Eden is groping Charlotte's ass and pulling her dress up to reveal a black lacy thong. Emerson pushes through the crowd to reach the door to the room when he hears a high-pitched moan. He bursts into the room, and Eden turns to look at him with a sly smile on her face. Charlotte squeals when she sees Emerson and tries to cover herself up. He tells Eden to get the fuck out, so she does.
Yeah.
Oh, so smart.
He picks her up and crashes his lips down onto hers. She lets him kiss her for a second before she pushes him away and tells him he can't just barge in and expect her to take him back. He says he's taking her home, and she says that he doesn't own her anymore. He says that may be true, but he owns the club. He asks if Charlotte only came here to let Eden fuck her for fun, and she's like, so what if I did? You're the one who made me feel sexy and beautiful enough. He says, you are sexy and beautiful, but you are mine. And she says, not anymore. You call this nothing. He tells her he's sorry, and she says that he broke the trust. He says he can earn her forgiveness, and she asks how, so he tosses her over his shoulder and carries her to the middle of the room, placing her down on the throne. He kneels before her and rubs his hands up her thighs, so she lets him. He says, I'm on my knees for you, Charlotte. I know I promised to take care of you, and I made a mistake. Let me make it up to you. He pulls her hips to the edge of the seat and kisses her inner thigh. When he reaches the wet apex of her thighs, her nails dig into his hair, shoving his face down. He pulls down her panties, and he remembers they're in the foyer room and looks out to see Charlotte more aroused than she's ever been.
Her hips tilt, and the hand in my hair guides my face closer to where she wants it, a wicked smile stretching across my face. Tugging her hips closer, I bury my face between her thighs, running my eager tongue between her folds. The rumble of her pleasure vibrates through me as I do it again and again, devouring her sex like the depraved and desperate sinner I am. Suck my clit.
Suck my clit.
And I almost hesitate. This is the same girl who once struggled with the slightest bit of dirty talk, and now she's fucking my face and telling me what she wants. Pride swells in my chest, and I growl in response. Latching my lips around her most sensitive spot, sucking it the way she likes. Her cries echo through the room, bouncing off the bare walls. Reaching up with one hand, I jerk down her neckline, exposing a breast and kneading the soft flesh as I fuck her with my tongue. With the other hand, I easily slide a finger inside her. Her hips thrust upward, and I never want this to end. I'm holding her pleasure in the palm of my hand, a growling, aching reminder that she's mine. Glancing up at her again, I see Charlotte in a form she was always meant to be. Confident, sexual, and happy. It's right there, she pants. Don't stop. Hooking my finger, I thrust in another and pump hard as I suck hungrily at her clit. Feeling the muscles of her petite body tense all around me. Her panting breaths stop as she climaxes, leaving her in shivers when she comes down. She melts like candle wax into the seat, and I gently pull my fingers out, kissing my way along her thighs. My cock aches in my pants, dying to plunge into her wet heat, but I don't move to free it from its confines just yet. I'm not here to fuck her. I'm here to get her back.
Yeah. But you aren't technically kind of fucking her right now, so
yeah,
only with his tongue, only his tongue
and his fingers.
He asks her to come home with him, and she asks if he really thinks that this is enough to make it up to her. He says to tell him what she wants, and he'll do it, and she stands up, pulls her dress down, and begins to walk out the door. She tells him that this isn't enough. Deep down, he's proud of her for standing up for herself and sees how much stronger she's become than when he first met her. We're in Charlotte's POV. She's back home and can't sleep. Walking away from him was torture, but she knows that she can never come before his relationship with his son. They never had a future together, and she doesn't want to be a dirty little secret. She deserves better. Suddenly, she hears a car door slam outside and hears her father's voice yelling, Charlotte, get out here. She hasn't seen him for over a year, and when she looks out the window, she can see rage on his face. Her mom comes out of her house and demands to know what's going on here. Her dad continues to bang on Charlotte's front door and yell at her to come outside. She pulls open the door, and he's shouting at her that he got a call from a coworker and he knows what she's been up to. He says he won't have her selling her body to a bunch of rich perverts.
Okay, first of all, get fucked. fucked.
Yeah. Where have you been for the last year?
Yeah, fuck you.
Now Sophie's outside and Charlotte tells her dad to keep his voice down. He says, why don't you want your mother hearing that you were at a sex club auctioning yourself off for $75,000? She looks over to see Sophie typing something into her phone and disappearing back into the house.
Emerson!
Charlotte's mom asks her what he's talking about, and she tells her mom that she's not a prostitute. She begins asking Charlotte if the sex club is where Emerson works, and Charlotte's dad recognizes the name. She says Emerson owns the club, and her dad begins yelling again, saying that a guy he works with saw her there three times. The co-worker must be the guy that's always looking at her and making her uncomfortable.
That was also bidding on her, but I bet he left that information out.
Yeah. Sleazy.
She realizes that she recognizes him from meeting him when she was younger at her dad's law firm. She tells them that the man who won her was her boyfriend. He says that he knows Emerson is Beau's dad and tells her mom that she has no say anymore because she fucked up both of their kids. Her mom says that he lost his chance when he abandoned them, and he pushes her mom, and Charlie screams at him not to touch her. It intensifies to the point that they're both fighting him, and two other car doors slam and there's voices in the distance.
Got it.
Emerson appears and grabs her dad and throws him onto the ground, and he says, touch them again and I'll fucking bury you. Her dad says, you're the asshole fucking my daughter. Emerson says, wash your mouth, you piece of shit. Her dad says, you make me sick. Charlotte screams at them to both stop, so Emerson lets go. Her dad demands to know if her mom knew what was going on, and her mom says yes, that Emerson actually showed up to Sophie's birthday party.
I'm like, you bitch.
Yeah. Dad. Emerson tells him he needs to leave and come back when he can calm down and talk like a real man. And her dad says, a real man? My daughter deserves better than you, you sick fuck. Another voice calls out from Emerson's car.
Hey, don't talk to my dad like that.
It's Beau.
Beau.
Her dad is like, your dad is fucking your ex-girlfriend. And Beau's like, at least he didn't abandon his family.
I would argue that both are bad.
Yeah.
I would say that I would prefer that my mom had abandoned me than her to be fucking my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
I would say, they're at least like,
my judgment's a little clouded because I'm like, Emerson can do no wrong.
My mom already abandoned me.
Yeah.
Like, but at least she didn't fuck my ex.
Hey, true.
So I think that would be weird as fuck. So that's good.
Her dad tells him that they need to leave, but her mom is like, no, you need to leave.
He says, I'm not leaving them with this pervert.
You know what? He's a transphobic piece of shit who left his own kid because I like it.
How do you think you're more in the right?
You know what? You're right. I do own a club downtown and I do take your daughter there, but I haven't brainwashed her or manipulated her or hurt her in any way. And I'm not ashamed. You think you know what's right for your daughters, but you have no idea. You just want them to live how you think they should live. And you're so self-righteous that you've lost your family because of it. I may not be the best father in the world, but I choose my kids' happiness over mine every time. And I know for a fact that you would never love Charlotte as much as I do. Not if you can stand being away from her for a single day.
Let alone a whole year.
Yeah. Charlotte is swooning. She loves him. He is everything to her.
She's like, oh, so hot.
I'm back. I'm back, baby.
I'm in the game.
Emerson's POV. Sophie bursts out yelling, enough!
Poor Sophie.
Please don't!
She tells her dad to leave because she was the one who called Emerson because he was scaring them. Emerson recognizes father's guilt on Charlie's dad's face. Charlotte grabs Emerson's hand and tells her dad that he has no right to speak to her the way he is, and she's tired of everyone acting like they know what's best for her.
Yeah.
Her mom tells him to leave again, and he says, fuck this, and finally does. So Emerson asks Charlotte if she's okay, and she says, yeah. She tells him what happened before he got there, and he says he's gonna have the strange man's membership revoked immediately.
Good.
She asks why he was with Beau, and he says that they were going out to grab a drink to talk. He says he needs to leave and do that and asks if he can call later, and she says yes. Him and Beau are back in the car, and Beau asks him if he really loves her, and Emerson says yes. Emerson tells Beau he's not going to stop seeing her, and Beau says it's still fucking weird and that he doesn't know if he can see them together for a while, but that she seems happier than when she was with him. And Beau reaches over and hugs his dad.
They're in a truce.
Yeah.
Still weird, but at least they're like,
yeah.
He's like, hey,
don't kiss in front of me, please.
Yeah. It's like, don't touch her.
Don't.
Back in Charlotte's POV, she walks into the house and Sophie asks if she's mad that she called Emerson, and Charlie says, no, of course not. The girls and their mom
decide to have a PJ movie day to calm down. Halfway through the second movie, Bo knocks on the door and Charlotte answers it. He says he's sorry for being a shitty boyfriend and for cheating and for being mean, and she says thanks. He says she deserves to be happy, even if it's with his dad. He tells her his dad told him everything and that he wasn't gonna wait for his permission to be with her, and then he says he has to go. She showers and gets dressed in her black outfit and the docks from her first and shows up at Emerson's. He answers the door and immediately pulls her into his body and kisses her, devouring her lips. He squeezes her ass and lifts her up, and she wraps her legs around him. He carries her inside and sets her on the stairs, kneeling in front of her. She says she's missed him so much. She pulls off his shirt and kisses her way down his torso, and he tells her to get naked, and she says, "Yes, sir." Mm. As soon as he sees her bare breasts, he says he needs to come in her right now. He tells her to turn over and pull her pants down with her a few steps above him.
On a staircase.
Saucy. A loud gasp slips through my lips when I feel his mouth on my back, trailing his wet, warm kiss downward until he's spreading me with his tongue, groping against my sex hungrily, laughing at my clit in a frenzied daze. He takes me to the edge of bliss before pulling away and shifting his own pants downward. "You're mine, Charlotte. This pussy is mine. Understand?" "Yes," I shriek, pressing my hips backward, searching for him, his mouth, his hands, his cock. Anything, but he holds me at bay. Turning back, I see him stroke himself languidly, staring at my exposed cunt with lust in his eyes. "Tell me you're mine. Say it. I'm yours," I gasp, clutching the wooden step between my fingers, turning my knuckles white. "I don't want anyone but you. I'm yours and you're mine. My sir," I cry out.
"My sir!"
"That's my girl," he groans, and without warning, he fills me, a hint of pain laced with pleasure. I scream while thrusting my hips backward, trying to take more as much as I can get, until I have all of him, and he has all of me. His hands land harshly against the stairs next to mine, and he covers my body, thrusting inside with each rough cant of his hips. The hot skin of his chest is against my back, and his breath is in my ear. With every smack of his lips against my ass, I let out a breathy meal of pleasure. Mixed with his heavy grunts, he's fucking me fast and hard until we are moving as one toward our climax. And when I scream with my release, he groans and pounds into me one last time, my name on his lips as he comes. Before I have the chance to collapse onto the steps, he pulls me upright. His cock slides out of me, cum dripping down my legs as he turns me until I'm facing him. "I love you, Charlie," he whispers into my mouth, sealing his words with a languid kiss. And I bite onto his bottom lip, making him feel the intensity that's boiling inside me. When our mouths part, I lick the teeth marks on his bottom lip before whispering in return, "I love you too."
Cute. So sweet. I feel bad for his housekeeper who has to like and jizz off his stairs. Like,
oh shit, I'm fucking in here.
That's gross. He carries her up the stairs to take his time with her. Now we're in the epilogue. We're in Charlotte's POV, and she's sucking his dick while he's on a conference call.
Oh, sneaky. I am lapping at his cock. There's so much lapping.
Lots of lapping.
Oh, wow. I am lapping at his cock with my tongue like it's a damn lollipop, and I'm doing it on purpose to drive him insane. With a quick click click of his mouse, I know he's muted his mic. Then his fingers dig into my hair as he mutters darkly, "Stop being a fucking tease, Charlotte, and suck my cock like a good little secretary." I whimper as desire trails down my spine, culminating between my legs and soaking my panties. "Yes, sir," I whisper, and I eagerly take his impressive length down my throat, moaning with each stroke of my lips around him. I coat his shaft with saliva and bob my head up and down in the rhythm he loves. "I'm gonna come down your throat," he groans, and I hum in response. Just as he promised, the head of his cock tightens between my lips, and then he unloads down the back of my throat, spilling and spilling until I swallow it all down.
His camera is turned off, and he hoists her into his lap and pulls her onto his desk and begins to eat her out when Garrett begins yelling at him over the phone, saying he knows that Emerson can hear him.
It's like, "I've been telling you about our business this entire time."
He's like, "Oh my god, you knew it."
He unmutes himself right before Charlotte's about to come, forcing her to be quiet while he fingers her. She moans, and Garrett's like, "Ugh, hey, Charlotte."
It's like me being here.
So happy to have you here. She's like, ah. This is annoying. He says, please get work done and stop fucking, please. We are running a business.
Please.
She later sent him an apology email and wonders what's got him so grumpy. And I was like, he's not being grumpy. He's, you're gonna run a business.
You guys are just fucking on the phone.
Yeah. And try hearing any of my coworkers fucking and be like, oh,
I'm so comfortable. Charlotte, her mom, Sophie, Emerson, and Beau are all out for Taco Tuesday.
So
and
it's awesome. So
awkward.
That is
family dinner.
Yay!
Two people here have fucked my daughter.
That is so weird.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. So weird.
After dinner, Beau leaves and Emerson drives Sophie and her mom home. At a red light, he yells, red light fire drill, and they do it. They do like the, oh, in the beginning they did this red light fire drill. Like, it's a Chinese fire drill.
Okay, I was like, yeah, her and Sophie do it all the time.
Yes.
Oh.
So after he drops Sophie and her mom off, him and Charlotte do this Chinese fire drill, red light fire drill.
Okay.
He laps her on the way around and then presses her into the side of the car, kissing her. He asks if she can handle all the dirty things he wants to do to her. And she says, yes, sir. And he says, good girl.
The end.
But not after whipping food, please.
No, I need to shit first. Got a stinky bum. I liked it.
How many red pepper was he?
I think I'd give this one 5.
That's what Shelby gave it.
Yeah. Look at that vibe.
Would you trade places with Charlie?
I would.
Oh, I would. Yes, I would.
I would.
Would you guys?
I think I would too. Yeah. I just want to see what it's like for a day.
You're right?
She's getting paid.
Yeah.
To get fucked.
And if he's hot as fuck.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I would.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
So he is hot?
Yeah, he's hot.
Okay.
Yeah. He is.
Well, technically, our next episode is our very first Riley Reed episode.
Yay!
Where Shelby and I are having Riley Reed Come Slut.
Come Slut.
By B. Sound Jacket.
Can't wait for you guys to hear it because it's something.
Yes. It's very cummy.
It was.
Delicious.
So Shelby and I are going to be the smut virgins.
Yay!
And Riley's going to be the smut reader. For the turntable.
Help out.
Turn tables. And then our next regular episode is going to be The Dark One by Nikki St. Croix.
Ooh, this one I'm so excited for.
Yes, it's the second book in the Vicious Lost Boys series.
Yes. It is, and then you get to read the one scene I've been raving about.
I can't wait.
I'll show you the cover.
So the cover has like a little skull, half human eye on it. And it says, never, never let him chase you. As we know in the last book, he got his shadow, right?
He found his shadow.
Found it. Got it in the box.
There were two of them.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And they were not expecting.
I think this one will be maybe more spookier.
I think there's more plot.
Yeah. Definitely more plot in the second one, but the same amount of smut.
Oof. Yeah, it's spicy.
And the smell is so good.
Yeah. In the first
I think
one.
Better in this one.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I can't wait.
I don't know. It just has a skull in the front, so it's not really.
But who do you think the skull is, if you were to look at it?
Was it Pam?
No. We'll find out.
Was that a woman's eye?
We'll find out.
Okay.
Okay,
stay tuned, guys.
Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook at Smut Up and Listen Podcast.
We made a TikTok.
Oh, we did. TikTok. So go follow that too if you have a TikTok.
It's just Smut Up and Listen.
Woo!
TikTok.
Yes.
Okay. Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at Smut Up and Listen Podcast and on TikTok at Smut Up and Listen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.